Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 198. What?
I don't know. I didn't you say anything. You started laughing before. Stumbled
already.
Nobody said anything.
You guys are just mean.
Typical Mackie Meslar.
Now you have to call it by.
Now we can name it.
Oh, you just wanted that to get that down before we forgot it again.
Just wanted to get it on record.
No, I just had a call on my cell phone asking for Mr. Mackie Meslar. So I'm just like, what?
We forgot the name, but we just got
it. That sounds about right.
I think that was it.
It's probably some obscure, like, old comic he has in the back issues.
He's like, what?
Mr. Mackie Meslar.
But they called his phone, like, not the business line.
Yeah. Who knows?
He's the comic man.
They just assume.
Yeah.
Comic McMahon.
Who are you? Where are we at?
I'm trying to figure out what Adam's saying. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
Rich.
We're using the big boy table because the little one has Girl Scout stuff on it.
Big table, low bar.
Which just says we're using the big boy table because the Girl Scouts, we don't want to move their stuff at all because
this is how it was when I came back.
Bunch of Girl Scouts breaking his legs.
He's like, and I don't want to mess with the Girl Scout stuff because they're going to hurt me. This is the wacky banter.
It is. You're right.
Is what you missed the whole time.
I did. I missed. Oh, but the whole time I was gone, the whole 36 hours I was out of town.
Yeah. Hey.
The Express Disney trip.
Yes. How to do Disney in 36 hours.
You did it, yeah.
Did you do Small World?
No, I did not get to do Small World. I did insist as we were walking past Pirates of the Caribbean that we had to go there, even though it was not on the schedule. And then I was told that was a good call.
You wanted to see a picture of him in the teacup with Mickey Mouse.
I wish,
on
no. Yeah.
With this grumpy look on his face. That would have been your profile picture,
no
I think,
teacups.
Maybe forever.
Or no, Mickey Mouse ears, but eating like the Mickey Mouse ice cream cone.
Yeah.
But still with a sad
I didn't,
face.
I wanted to get one of those Rice Krispie things. Like the 8-pound Rice Krispie treat. Yeah. Those look good.
The teacups are surprisingly fun. You can really get those things going.
Yeah, you can.
Is it like the web by Kennywood?
No,
kinda. It's just they.
There's a teacup thing in Kittyland.
And the cups rotate, but then you can also make
them
faster.
Oh, you can spin it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whenever we went, I got it going really fast. Adele and I were losing our minds, and Debbie was just like staring at us like.
Adele was like, floor.
Yeah.
She was like, oh no. Too fast.
She's like, faster, faster, faster.
And then you didn't hear her faster. You're like, uh-oh, too fast.
I just see your mouth is moving. No sound.
It's just all gone. She's like, I won't vomit. Yeah, she did.
Okay, but no, I did not go on that. No, my favorite, I really like that that Everest, Expedition Everest.
Yeah, that was a lot
that
of
was
fun.
A cool one.
Yeah.
That was a neat one.
We need to ride it.
Really?
It was a little bit too short.
Oh, okay. It was,
for the
it was
amount of time you were on it, though, you seem to have rode a lot.
Yeah, you rode a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, it was burning a couple
years
ago.
You have to
get
in as much as you can in those days. Like.
Yeah, I did the, what else? We did the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. So now I know what the comic book's all about.
No, I don't.
It's about the same thing.
I tried to do the Figment thing so I'd understand what Figment was, but it was having technical difficulties.
Says the book.
Yeah, I did the Test Track. We did Space Mountain.
Test Track was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. Space Mountain
was really cool.
A lot of it was, but a lot of it wasn't. Like, a lot of the problem that we had was in the early on when it was testing braking and everything, there was a car literally 4 feet in front of us. So it's like, well, I know we're not going to crash into it. So a lot of it was kind of okay. But then when you get going, that was pretty cool.
We did not have a car in front
of us. Yeah, there was one literally right in front
of us. And then you bust out in the track and you go flying around.
Yeah, that was cool.
Pretty fast.
That was cool.
We got there early. We didn't have a fast pass for it. We just were able to get right in.
We had an interesting situation where I guess this was all very planned and through a travel agent and all sorts of stuff, some sort of Disney travel agent. But something went wrong the first day where our fast passes stopped working. Like when you use them all, you're supposed to be able to get more and it wouldn't let us because my mother-in-law hadn't gone on rides.
Oh.
And so hers were unused, so we couldn't get more as a group. And there was some other problem, so she called, and basically they made our things completely fast pass. We could just walk onto any ride.
Oh, nice.
So,
what?
Yeah. So,
I need to find out how to get that.
Yeah, so that happened. So they're
right
enjoying that.
People, you know?
No, you don't.
Man,
you never have to threaten at Disney.
No.
You don't even
Everybody
really
was unbelievably polite.
Yeah.
Even in the airport, just I got off the shuttle and I go in and I was just looking for the main terminal. It was like you were in this one weird low room. It was a little odd. And I was just looking to where to go to get to the main terminal. And the guy's like, can I help you? And I said, oh, wait, you know, just abundantly pleasant. Where I'm used to, yeah, I go that way.
Well, that's what happens when 99% of your economy is based on tourism. Yeah. You have to be
in a different world.
But so it was fun. But yeah, family's still there. I'm home.
Yeah, because it's all connected. Like, whether it's them getting you there, like, if they treat you bad, then it's just like it affects Disney because they're all so
connected. Yeah.
That's my Disney story. I mean, I had a fine time, but I would like to go for more than 36 hours someday.
You don't know?
I can't.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You want to wait
till he has to wait.
I got to pick them up tomorrow.
Yeah. He has to wait till they come back, and then he goes.
Then he goes. He's just like, now I can go.
Just swap the car. Yeah, we're in space B3. Go.
No, they wouldn't know. How does it always be? I drop them off and pick them up at the airport, but anytime I go to the airport, I got to park in East Bumble and walk through, you know, especially in February, the Comic Sport trip. That's always my favorite.
You don't have to walk.
Double standards, friend.
Exactly. I don't have to walk?
No.
Why?
Because if you park at the lot, you go out where ground transportation is.
Shuttle.
You get on a bus, and they take you.
I did the shuttle.
Cars.
I missed my plane one time because of a shuttle, because it took me so long.
Oh, but
for
on
the
way
shuttle
back,
to bring
it
in.
Be a big deal.
You must have been cutting it pretty close.
Yeah, you would have been.
No, it took. We stopped. We sat stopped for like half an hour.
See, I'm the type of person.
It was really weird. I'm sitting there like, okay, this was the worst decision I've ever made.
They tell you you should be at the airport 2 hours early.
Right.
I'm at the airport 2 hours early because
But then it was a problem.
Stuck through security.
Yeah, I have to get to the airport early. I'm too neurotic about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember this one.
Like,
it might have been my leaving on Wednesday thing, and I didn't get out
that
when I
sense.
Wanted to.
What are you doing? You trailed off.
I did. No, there was that was the airport when I got to the airport. That was the line for security.
I believe you.
Yeah. That'd be a good 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was at 10:30 at night.
They let you in?
Yeah. Yeah, they let me in. Okay.
Was that in the courtyard area?
Right
in the middle of the hotel?
I was just trying to get into that was in the airport.
That's
Pittsburgh the airport.
No, that was it.
That's the airport
in
Orlando. That's the courtyard right in the middle of the hotel and the airport.
Okay.
Because we stayed there the first night.
Oh, okay.
It was cheaper to fly down the night before.
Okay.
And stay there.
And stay a night there and then just go to our actual, you know, resort the next morning.
Gotcha.
Makes sense.
So our balcony was like looking down into that courtyard.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It was in the airport, so. That's enough of my great Disney trip. I won't give you all the other fun stuff. Pat, was there any news when I was gone?
Not a lot, but there was a little. Secret Wars number 9. I know this is a shock.
It's coming out?
It is in January. So number 9 of 8, which was scheduled to ship in October, is now coming out in January.
Well, 9 was never scheduled to come out.
That's why I said 9 of 8.
Right. 8 was scheduled to come out
October
7th.
Is this one of their worst, like, delayed books?
You know,
It almost seems like because of how many...
Civil War
was
late.
That many issues,
I don't know if it was this delayed. It's just a giant cluster only because this whole relaunch is spinning out of it.
Right.
And everything, and it's, you know, it's like they're quickly using up their 8 months later, you know, that they had built in.
That's a shame they had to build 8 months later in.
Well, they didn't build it in, but it's just one of those, you
didn't
know.
Didn't they?
You don't play in
but,
those
yeah, I mean, just this is just a total,
can't play comic books.
Total cluster. Yeah. I mean, it'll be now be a because it'll be a year after the announcement that it's finally finished their 8-issue run, and it's just really poorly planned. Somebody shared on my wall a thing from I think it was the Outhousers did something where Hickman laughing because it's all been a cruel hoax just to see how long people would buy books. But, I mean, I think it's really going to hurt any tie-ins that are still going on. Especially Ultimate End.
Yeah.
I mean, people, are they going to even remember?
Because
I think the last issue...
The last issue,
I think, came out in, like, July.
Mm-hmm. I know I read on Bendis's board or something that they're holding that book, you know, until the last issue.
But...
Because... I hope it really makes a difference.
You know, then why did they hold Uncanny X-Men for so long? You know, 600. And it's just a real disaster.
Just so Marvel had something to ship that week.
Yeah. Maybe they do need to plan these things a little bit.
But, you know? I mean, they can't. When are they going to plan the next one? You know, when are they going to relaunch again?
I say stop doing events because they don't know how to deal with them until they figure out how to deal with events.
Well, just
write your books.
Get it in the can. You know, get it done.
By this time, it is in the can.
Yeah, have it 3/4 of the way done before you announce
the can
it.
Well,
but that's the thing. When it was announced in January, the first issue, first issue came out in May.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you had 5 months to.
Yeah, it should have been. Yeah. So it's very disappointing, and it's just hard to tell. You know, how's it going to sell? How's it going to sell after it's got? Oh, Secret Wars was such a great event. You know, is this something that's going to sell in the future? I don't know.
If only they, if they just decided to stick with a regular one book a month schedule,
they would have been fine. But the problem was,
they'd be fine. Yeah. But when they do this wacky schedule, then
four books in the first 6 weeks,
they shoot themselves in the foot.
That's the thing.
Like if one book a month, no one would be saying anything right now, except for maybe obviously
absolutely
going a bit long.
Yep.
But,
But you can't go week to every 2 weeks, and all of a sudden
nine weeks.
How many people really? Pastor, I don't want a specific number, but how many people are really caring so much about Secret Wars?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, all summer it was all this is great, but now it's
like
I personally couldn't care less at this point. But I'm too able to not buy the rest of them.
Yes,
right. Yeah, that's kind of thing. Like I gave up completely on the tie-ins. Because I was just like, well, there's two reasons. One, because of this, we're already into the new thing, so why do I care? Why would I spend money on the crappy tie-ins when I can spend it on new books that are coming out? And then the other thing is just, yeah, they were bad. So it's just, what's even the point of this event anymore? It has none. We already know
to sell books.
Well, and
they're
then,
not going
well,
to.
Another weird thing is most of the books are continuing. Like Thor literally picked up right where it had. Silk continued right where
Silk
it had.
Exactly where it left off. Yeah.
And then you have other ones like Uncanny in All New Inhumans that came out today, is referencing stuff that happened. Like the Terrigen Mist still haven't reached Australia. It's like, wait, this is 8 months after the end of Secret Wars. The Terrigen Mist, I don't remember them in Battle World, so we don't understand how the world got back where it was. I'm beginning to wonder if it was all just a dream.
And do we really know how it really
Doctor
turned
Doom
out
steps
without
out of the shower. And
Well, that's part of my problem, though. So they can't do that even if they wanted, because so many other books like Punisher stuff were, those series ended on Battle World. But, other books are completely dismissive of whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't really know until not just these are over, but even if these books that had changing characters coming into this new universe,
yeah, Miles Morales,
Ultimates and Old Man Logan and stuff like that.
Avengers 2 came out today, so he wasn't in Avengers 1, even though he's on the team. So I didn't get a chance to read 2 to see, is he there and is he referencing it? Is he saying how he got there?
Read Red Wolf?
No, but that's set in 1872. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless they're planning on changing that later on down the road.
Well, no, that's because I was going to say, how did he somehow get into...
But then Spider-Gwen is still set in her universe as well.
Which I don't get, because her universe was destroyed.
Yeah, I don't think Tom Brevoort knew what he was talking about when he came up. It was just like pizza smashing and toppings all over the place.
Nothing has changed.
Make any difference.
All that happened is they took some characters from a different universe and put them into the main one. That's all this was for. This was so they can get Miles Morales over here. This was so they can get Old Man Logan over here. That's it.
You know what this taught us? Don't listen to Tom Brevoort. Yeah.
Nothing's been wiped clean. Even in Silk, there's an editorial box to reference Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
Okay.
So nothing is wiped out.
No, he isn't.
Magic Portal.
No, they have
but what was that other stuff, though?
They have cell phones in the Old West? Yeah. Okay.
I told you.
Okay, so something happens in this.
Okay.
To take him.
I didn't even read this. I knew it was a magic portal.
Okay. But that's okay.
Right, but because I didn't flip, but I did just open it up, and I'm like, well, wait a minute.
But that had nothing to do with Secret War, though.
Shouldn't the portal stuff have happened in 1872?
Shouldn't all this happen
in
Secret War?
Shouldn't have this wrapped up? if there's no battle world, how is this battle world
wouldn't
place
the new
left?
Earth being set up change all the pizza toppings?
Right before that world got destroyed, two guys showed up in a phone booth and they grabbed
yeah, it even
him.
Says 1872, dawn.
Well, I guess technically battle world is still around until January.
Yeah.
So this is why you had
to. But technically this was another time. So really, it could have been the
no.
The
it was part of Battle
world,
though.
Oh yeah, because they had because
they had Hank
like
Pym.
Rogers
and yeah, him. And Hank Pym.
So it was another world. It wasn't one of those that was taken out of time.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Comics are weird, very predictable with portals.
Well, after you read them long enough, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, moving on. Supergirl got a full season order. But its ratings apparently are slipping real bad.
It's 7 point something million right now.
Well, yeah, what they said though was Gotham is actually beating it in the ratings now.
Well, that a lot has to do with like.
Although Gotham also, Batman fans Gotham and, also yeah. had its fall finale, which
it's
may
the
have.
Time slot. I really think the time slot really screwed up that.
Yeah, I would have had that on at 9 o'clock.
Not
so
to say because like this show I liked better in the second episode. On.
I think the show's been really good.
And
no, I like. I've been enjoying
it. And I don't think
it's no Jessica Jones though.
No, it isn't.
What was with that whole comparison thing?
Who was comparing
the internet?
Internet.
No, I don't see the internet.
The people of the internet have spoken, and they said we have to compare these two
because things. They both have females in it.
Yeah. Well, the internet is incredibly sexist.
Somebody made an interesting comment. I forget who it was, but
without trying to be,
where I saw that, or maybe it might have been you, but what? Someone made a comment where. No, never mind.
We didn't say it was good. He just had a comment.
Where everybody complains that the DC movies are too dark, yet their favorite Marvel stuff is the dark
Daredevil
stuff.
Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
You know,
yeah,
so you said that, Josh said that. There we go. I knew somebody said it, but it's just one of those.
Can't have it both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, one of the rumors, and I think it's been shot down, but one of the rumors was if Supergirl gets a full season order in the second part of the season, the Flash is going to show up.
But the showrunner shot that.
Okay, well, and that's what I thought was it was shot down.
Again, the internet is stupid.
Because that's what the internet wanted.
Everything up.
Well, but that also makes sense.
Yeah. Snakes on a Plane is going to be awesome.
Snakes on a Plane was awesome. I love that movie.
What makes sense? Having a crossover?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense because for it to cross over, then Superman has to exist in the Flash and Arrow world,
true,
and they've
and
never
they
said a word about Superman.
Yeah, that's
the
okay.
The first of Super...
No, it's not okay, because up to this point, every mention of a superpower being has tied back to
according
the
to the Flash
incident.
Yeah, according to the Flash, the idea of superhumans or metahumans was first done there.
Yeah.
And that was it. So there's no mention of a Superman. I mean, you'd really know if there was a Superman.
No, I was
going to
say, well, maybe
if
he just starts.
What's the problem? There's a guy who flies in Metropolis.
He's already been doing it for 12 years, so yeah, I guess that would be a problem.
Yeah, that's...
Continuity doesn't matter in comics. Jeez, come on, guys.
Not at all.
Comic
book people don't seem to care about
that. Speaking of Superman, they did a 50-second teaser piece for Batman versus Superman.
The full trailer comes out tonight.
I know, and I'm waiting for
that. On Kimmel for some reason.
Did you see the John Cena?
Yeah, I did hear that. That was kind of funny.
Everything's been on Kimmel lately.
Yeah.
Why would Kimmel get this? Why would ABC
show?
Give it to Colbert on CBS.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, is that who's on CBS?
Yeah.
He's on vacation this week on Colbert.
And give it to the dude after him, I guess. Yeah.
What's he taking vacations at a time like this?
Yeah, there's Batman vs. Superman footage. You
Who's he think he is, Colin? Going to Disney World? There's a time and a place, Colin. Can't always just go on vacation.
I'm sorry.
But that was...
it's a busy time of year.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that footage?
Yeah, it was a pretty dark scene. Superman's face, man. Henry Cavill's face.
Yeah, he definitely gave him the stink eye.
Like, he definitely made a Dark Knight Returns Superman, face.
Yeah.
But just the whole...
He told
the
Batman.
Whole
he was like, where are the drugs?
No,
where's the kryptonite?
It looks like it's going to be a dream sequence or something like that.
No, I don't think so.
Or he's under the control of Lex or something.
That's what I've
heard. Like, it's not... that's not Superman, you know, because they had the troops there that, you know, bowed to him and all that.
Yeah. But
that
was played, really they've played weird. Up in all these trailers. There's some humans that look at him
as a god. I get that.
And treat him as such, and some that fear him.
I get that. But Superman, the personality of Superman wouldn't... He wouldn't go along with that.
Yeah, but we're looking at it 50 seconds at some point in this 2-hour movie.
It's hard. I get that. But that's why... It does seem odd, and all that, it seems like it's going to be... We're not seeing Superman the way it really plays out. Superman wouldn't have the look
on his face that he had if he had a bunch of people around there bowing to him. Like, that's not...
When he comes down to, though, it seems like all he's focused on
is Bruce.
Is Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, which that...
He's not focused on anything else around him. They don't even have to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frankly, they should have some.
I don't see them putting a dream sequence or something in. It may not be a dream sequence.
It may be a nightmare.
Why Avengers 2 did it?
Yeah, that was stupid.
But
it was stupid.
The one thing, and Batman genuinely looks frightened.
I don't think he looked frightened.
No, he looked angry.
Yeah. No, I didn't see it as anger.
I thought he looked angry.
I didn't see it as anger. I thought they both looked angry. Superman clearly did.
Yeah. You
know. Just might have been hungry. I don't know.
Eat a Snickers. Snickers.
You act like a moody vigilante when you're hungry.
I don't know. These movies are clearly meant to be on the darker side, so I think this is going to be some real thing going on.
Can't have dark movies.
Are you excited for it?
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to the trailer
DC kind of, or Warner Brothers themselves, has kind of backed away from doing a lot of too much hype. DC has really stuck
with the slow burn for this movie, and it's built excitement up.
Yeah,
and the weird because thing, we're not getting I mean, too the movie, much of it. They filmed it 2 years ago. I mean, they could have had it out by now and held on to it. Yeah. So I got to give them credit for that.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if maybe Star Wars scared them off. It may have, because they've moved the date so many times.
Star Wars is 2 weeks away. I still couldn't care less.
It's still going to get its negativity. Though.
I couldn't care less.
Well, yeah, but it's going to get its negativity no matter what. But I think we said this. I'm more excited about that than I am the Star Wars movie.
You know why? Because this is something we've been wanting, like this Batman Superman.
Yesterday, I read a news article about Star Wars ice cream.
Yeah.
The vanilla is light side, and the chocolate is dark side. I'm like, give me a freaking break.
They had Star Wars makeup, like Maybelline or one of them. I saw a commercial, and it was like, you know, lipstick, and it looks like a lightsaber and all stuff. And I'm like, how much can they whore this out for?
How many billions did they pay for it?
$4
They can do a lot.
Until they make back $4 billion.
Yeah, but don't make that back.
They've really already made money off of it. Didn't they say that they've already made...
Casey Lucas, though. What will you sell Star Wars to us for? I don't know. $4 billion. Okay.
Yeah, but damn. I can see him go...
$7 trillion. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, he's making up some number. You know, what's he going to do with $4 billion?
Yeah. Buy laser sharks. That's what I would do.
He should...
He's going to become a James Bond villain?
He should be like a mall Santa.
He'd change Santa around, though.
He's kind of lost his neck over the years, actually. He's building apartments.
Complexes.
In Tatooine?
Where Skywalker Ranch is. And all the neighbors are very upset.
I did hear something about it. He wanted to build something and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
Some ordinance. So he said, I can do this. Okay.
They don't want any of the riffraff to move in.
Yeah, but you know how expensive housing is in Northern California?
Until Lucas shows up on his door with blows them away.
Not slums or anything, but nicer.
Nicer low cost.
Bunch of Ewoks.
Nicer low cost housing.
You know, a bunch of Ewoks showing up.
There's a bunch of tree villages.
They're like, the little riffraff coming in. I'm like, Nisa, no riffraff. You know. It'll be all sorts of chaos.
Okay, and the last thing I heard was Agent Carter, which was supposed to debut, it got pushed back 2 weeks.
Well, for Marvel, that's nothing.
No, that's what it was. It was State of the Union.
It's even the same year, calendar year. Jeez.
Yeah, but it's only, I think, 6 episodes, so that's easy for them to do. But yeah, it was State of the Union because otherwise it would have come week 1, and then week 2 would have been State of the Union. So they just pushed the whole thing back.
Yeah, that's why they moved Secret Wars too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it.
Blame Ball Obama State. For everything.
Obama. Secret Wars.
Obama.
He's that's, a baron of his own island there. Yeah. Secret War.
So that's all I got, Colin. Okay. We had a question this week, though.
Yes.
Was it a question or just a response to our...
No, there was a question. No, there was a question. There was the bowcaster, which I thought was...
Chuck Gilbert's question.
Good, but there was an actual question.
Yeah.
Thanks, James, who was here Saturday for the bowcaster thing.
Oh, he was the one that sent the bowcaster thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we have to give our, we have to tell them what he said.
Okay, go ahead, because I read it and went... Wah, 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 so I don't...
It was in Wookiees.
No, it was Charlie Brown Teacher
yeah.
speak.
Yeah,
that's more.
So James clarified for us the bowcaster. It actually does fire projectiles that are. He said magnetized, or it's something else that they.
Yeah,
are,
it was like the two balls energized. On the end kind of level it off or whatever.
Yeah, it energizes this piece of metal.
Bolt.
Yeah, this bolt. And essentially makes it more powerful than a standard blaster. Still uses a clip, so it has a magazine.
That's why he has the bandolier.
Shots. Yeah, but I did further reading after James's response, and there's been something that's been modified to be purely energy-based, no projectile, which that, to me, I'm like, what's the point then?
Yeah.
It's just a blaster, but maybe there's something more to the pure energy ones.
So since you did the research on that, what about Wookiee physiology?
I'm sticking with Wookiee physiology.
He's the one that had the experience with the animal meat.
What?
Chippendale meat.
Oh.
I didn't know that chipmunks and Wookiees were...
At Disney, they both
are similar
furry.
Physiology?
Bipedal creatures.
I got you. I got you.
They can't speak English.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
Chip and Dale speak English.
Not at Disney, they don't.
No, none of them speak.
Well, none of them. Actually, that's not true. Mickey does, and it's creepy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
If you go, like, when you first walk into Disney, you can get your picture taken with Mickey, and it talks.
Yeah.
And it's creepy.
Do non-rescue rangers Chip and Dale
yes.
talk?
Yes, they do.
Are you sure about that?
I'm absolutely sure.
Okay.
They don't talk much, but they do talk.
I can't think of any time where non-rescue rangers Chip and Dale spoke.
You mean the cartoons?
There's two. One. What?
They talked in the cartoons.
There's one where they fight with Donald Duck, and they keep hitting him in the face with apples.
Yeah.
And that one they talk, because that's one of my favorite ones. And then the other one where I know they do is the... it's part of the Mickey's Christmas Carol, where Mickey chops down the tree, and they're in the tree.
Yeah, I remember from a lot of the Christmas ones that they did. They didn't have, like, any difference to their voice, I don't think, then.
It's hard to tell them
subtle,
apart.
But in Rescue Rangers, they did.
Yeah.
We also had a question.
Yeah.
Thanks, James, by the way.
most of us have gone to comic book conventions. What are your best and worst experiences when you've met a favorite artist or writer at a convention or signing? If you don't have any, then what about celebrities? Any other type of celebrities? That's from Chuck Gilbert.
Oh, this was, Chuck
Gilbert. Wait, I'm sorry. One more time. Sorry.
Best and worst
wasn't
experiences.
This was the question that you received over a month ago.
And
you
didn't even listen to it now. You ignored it now.
Chuck was here and told us in person, I submitted a question a month ago and no one ever addressed it.
Then he messaged it.
Thanks, Chief.
And then when I'm reading it, he ignores it.
Well, okay, you can't.
I was
really
actually looking at Chuck's post on Facebook, where they have.
So Chuck was distracted.
They have.
Are you blaming Chuck?
Yes,
for not
because they posted the Entertainment Weekly cover with Black Panther and has him saying meow.
Yeah, the internet's all up in a roar over that, and I'm not even getting
it. The internet needs to cool their jets.
So that I apologize. That's just what I was
saying. Best or worst comic book convention. Experience
or shine
your favorite artist or writer, or if you've had a celebrity other than a comic book.
Okay, person. Got it.
Pat, you go first.
Well, if we're just sticking with comic book writers, actually both were here, best and worst.
Today? I know
you're going with
don't it. Talk about this. We've talked about this so many times.
If it's celebrity, it was Mariah Carey in Macedonia, but I don't count that. Because it was freezing cold and she made us wait for 45 minutes and it was
not. Were you working that, though?
Huh?
Were you working that?
Well, was I working her?
No, like weren't you weren't just one of the audience members? Like you were actually
no, I was there because I had to be.
But I'm saying like you were doing some job as part of that,
right? Yeah, but a normal person doesn't take 45 minutes to disembark a plane. That's
maybe Mariah Carey doesn't think she's a normal person.
I'm not going to get into disparaging comments, which may get Colin lawyer letters. So we're not going to go there. Because, you know, that's happened before.
Pat's opinions are...
Pat's opinions.
That's, seriously that's his great. Own.
Yeah. No, but comic book writers, Best and Worst, both happened here on the same day. Kyle Higgins was the worst. Yeah. And I liked his writing on Nightwing. But he was kind of a jackass. Because he's clearly really into Batman Beyond. And... it's a few years beyond me, I didn't watch it. And it wasn't ignorance. It wasn't I didn't care what he likes. It was I don't know it. And
he's probably sitting somewhere in a bar right now saying, yeah, and this guy, Pat, biggest jackass.
Yeah. No, but
I'm trying to talk about Batman Beyond.
No, I don't think I'm that important by any means. My opinions don't
matter. Yeah, you might not use
matter.
His real name.
No, my opinions
just
don't.
The one part that you said. I probably
said. Yeah, that, you speak like
that guy. That guy. That guy's like a trail mix. That's what it is. It's Gambit Trail Mix.
That's what Gambit eats.
Hot Cajun mix.
Yeah. You share.
But it was just, it was more awkward than... then I guess bad.
Yeah, very awkward experience.
That was weird.
I was holding right really by the weird. Microphone.
Okay. And then...
Colin's like, I'm not doing anything else anymore.
You know, and the flip side of that was Brian Buccellato, who was here, who I thought was really cool. And when he was here, it was right when they had announced the Flash show, and, you know, I asked him about that, if he was going to have any involvement, and...
he's probably like, no.
No, and that's what he was. He was like, no, that's all Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
But he was really cool.
Which makes sense, that it would have been a Geoff Johns before him.
I'm going to say it makes sense that he would be cool, and Kyle Higgins would be a douche.
That's right.
Now, see, I didn't go that far.
You implied it strongly.
He...
yeah, well, you said it. That's the difference.
He's right, though. I mean, he was. I mean, that's what he came off as. He did not come off as, like... he came off more as, you should be happy that I'm here.
Let me say this, though. He did look like he was trying to deal with something, because he was constantly on the phone.
Yeah.
So, I'm not, like,
well, I know
say...
what he was dealing with, yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, he was dealing with Marguerite Bennett on the phone after all the Lobo stuff had just broken, mm-hmm. and she made some comment online, and he was basically, take it down, say you're sorry, you didn't mean it, and get offline. But that's what he was dealing with.
So... I'm not going to say that he is maybe a douche all the time, but when he was here, when you try to talk to him at all, he definitely seemed like he was very standoffish.
Yeah. And I not even from, like, when I was here, I don't think he was on the phone, but I heard about all that stuff, dealing with that. And he came off really kind of, I don't know, he thought too much of himself, it almost seemed like.
Whereas Buccellato was, like, very eager to talk to people, would have, like, you know...
well, he was doing sketches. Rolling up
conversations. Did phenomenal sketches, watercolors.
Yeah.
They were $40 a pop.
I got one.
My wife got one for me.
Yeah.
Had a bunch of, you know, prints. It was worth it. Sale, like, and we were talking to him, and because he was so personal, we ended up buying a bunch of stuff.
You know, $40, usually that's not the price on something like that. That was a watercolor.
That was really nice.
Usually you get a sketch for that. Yeah. You know? I was surprised that he was there.
It's not the kind of watercolor that you would get and then just throw in a pile of stuff back on a shelf behind our register and leave there.
No, nothing like that.
That'd be a stupid thing to do. Really stupid.
Dumb.
Especially if you had this guy do a watercolor of, like, your favorite character of all time.
Yeah.
For you, I guess, Colin, that would be what, like Daredevil? Did you still not get a frame for that thing?
Man. I'm going to say
that's
no.
That's a no.
So moving on.
It drove me nuts. Every time I would go to cash in, and I would just, or cash out, and I see, like, this thing just sitting there with stuff piled on top of it. I'm like, it's a nice watercolor. What are you doing?
I got, I had a... To...
This is just breaking.
Yeah.
Kyle Higgins is suing the source.
I had him do the watercolor of Damien as a Robin.
Oh, okay.
And I just love it because I wanted, because of it being watercolor, I wanted somebody with a costume that was really colorful.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to do Flash
sense.
Because, like, everybody was asking for Flash.
Why didn't you have to do Captain Cold? You love Captain
that's
Cold.
True,
that's
yeah,
true,
yeah.
Yeah.
I should have.
Oh, even
yeah,
though,
I,
that's
I don't
more
like
subdued
the new
52 than
Captain
that's
Cold.
Still more. It's not real bright and colorful though.
The blues would pop.
But yeah, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the new 52 version of them. I kind of miss the whole Eskimo kind of look now. But I mean, he could have done that, I guess.
I liked him in Justice League, but he hasn't been in this current arc.
No,
no.
They Simon Bazzed him.
Yeah.
Who?
So, yeah, exactly.
Built him up and forgot about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Simon Bass,
although he
did said, show
yeah, somehow
up,
appeared
yeah,
in Lost Army.
Yeah, which I don't know how he got there. But
and was everybody else like, "Oh, you're here"? And he was just like, "Yep."
He had his gun and everything.
Well, no, they'd have been like, "Who the hell are you?"
Yeah, they, have any of them met him?
I think John.
It's the
Stewart
Luchador
had.
Lantern.
I guess he's been on Oa at one point, wasn't he?
He went there for some training.
Yeah,
yeah, but it would not for very long because they kind of kept him on Earth.
Now they have that girl whose power ring or whatever.
Yeah.
So they don't need him anymore.
That well, no, and sad. Simon Bazz is supposed to be the one that trains her.
Jeff Johns made him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's still the one on the book. It's odd.
Oh, he made him when he was on Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, we skipped you.
Yeah, I have two pretty good stories.
Ooh. All right, Dave.
I do. One creator story, one celebrity story. But these are both at Wizard World Chicago, which is actually...
What? When were you there?
Actually in Rosemont, like 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
What? Maybe we ran
yeah.
into each other.
Maybe.
Like ships but, passing in the night.
This is his bad experience at a
oh, good deal. Yeah, yeah. This guy was trying to buy something and pushed in front of me and bought it.
These are both good experiences. Oh, okay.
You don't have any bad?
But the one year, I talked to Robert Kirkman, who had a table there with all his books. You know, no one around him. This is way before
he went Hollywood.
Before he went Hollywood. Because I was reading Invincible, and I got like the first two or three trades. And I went to his table to buy a couple more of the issues. And he gave me issues 20, 21, and 22 for free and signed them all for me.
That's pretty cool.
So
you had him sign your Walking Dead number one?
Oh, I wish. No, I wish it.
I wish I would have got that.
But yeah,
everyone wishes they would have got that.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
It's not a unique wish. Try better.
try that harder. That wasn't the question. We were talking about
try
your
better.
Wishes.
I like English.
So he was just, I mean, to think about it now, it's just crazy because he was there all by himself. I mean, maybe there's another guy with him there. I don't know if it was Ryan Otley or somebody, but so that was awesome. The other one, this is 2005, Colin. I don't know if you were there for this.
No, I was saying because like Stan, that was around 2000. So.
I was there 2005, like August 2005. I was there for the whole weekend, and I went to a DC panel on Friday afternoon. And at the end, Paul Levitz was there. He was the president of DC, and he said Saturday night there's going to be a special panel, secret panel. So you got to get up Saturday morning, come to the DC booth. We'll get you, stand in line. We'll get you a wristband to get in this panel. They were filming The Dark Knight in Chicago that year. So everybody's saying, this has something to do with The Dark Knight. So I got up, you know, like 7 o'clock or something.
I bet it didn't.
It had nothing to do with it.
I got up at 7 o'clock or something on Saturday morning, stood in line to get the wristband, and they said, you know, no cameras, no phones, no nothing.
In this panel.
So, you know, then waited in line for that, and then we waited in line to get into the panel, and there are guys, they look like military. They had infrared binoculars or headsets or something looking around for that. So, hope I'm building up the anticipation.
You are.
Especially this little break you don't want to rely. You're just like, okay, now we're going to take a commercial break.
It was.
Stick the landing, Dave.
I'm going to stick it because it was a Dark Knight panel. I'm going to stick the landing, that is.
Yeah, there you go.
It was a Dark Knight panel, and they brought out Christian Bale, Aaron Eckhart, Gary Oldman, and Christopher Nolan.
Wow.
And the crowd went wild. I've never...
How many people were you think were there? Since it was like seemed like a secret.
It was a big room, so there had to be like 1,000 people in there. So,
how secretive was it? Paul Levitz is just going around telling everybody. They're just like, by the way, secret meeting.
There was so much. There was so much energy in that room. It was crazy. But the one thing I will never forget: the look on Aaron Eckhart's face. He just couldn't believe, you know, what was going on in front of him.
You wouldn't believe what was on his face. Both his face. You know?
No, well, yeah. It was,
yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah, I didn't even mean to make that joke on that. But he just never, he couldn't believe, like, what he was seeing in front of him. He never had, you could just tell he never had an experience like that before because... You know, he was in.
Yeah, but the type of movies he's in.
And that's what I was going to say. They didn't have conventions.
Well, he never did the convention.
They didn't have conventions for thank you for smoking or something like that. Whatever movies.
I like any given Sunday, but there's not a real big, following for that.
Yeah, so he was just, it was crazy. He was just totally blown away. But it was, and they showed a couple, some.
He hasn't done a lot for a while, has he, Aaron Eckhart?
Yeah, I can't remember the last thing he was in.
Something recently, some football movie.
Yeah, that's right.
It would have been better if
he was in that Frankenstein movie.
I think that football movie's coming out. Frankenstein? I think it came out.
Concussion?
No, a different one, I think. Or maybe it is Concussion.
I don't know. It's based on a true story. I think Disney did it.
So those are your two good stories.
That's the All-American.
I don't have any. I don't know.
You didn't expect Santa here to have a negative experience?
He gives people coal.
Yeah, but he's...
if you're lucky.
That's about it.
He has a naughty list.
Jumping in front of
you. He's just like, oh, wow.
Go ahead. I can't think of any bad experiences. It's really bad.
See, now it's funny because I've had so many good experiences that I really can't pick out any. Charles Vest was awesome. I was standing. I just wanted a couple books signed. I had grabbed a couple Spectre covers that he did that were great. And he was doing a sketch for a guy. And so I was just talking to him while he was doing it. And he was just the nicest guy. Just awesome. And then he signed the books and he told me the story behind why he did these three painted covers for the Spectre run. And so, and just awesome. But I have to say, most of my conventions experiences have been that. But maybe it's the people I'm going to talk to. I'm not trying to talk to the most popular, biggest people. I'm talking to I'm mostly going to say, hey, thank you. You know, your work's meant a ton to me. Like I did a lot of that in San Diego, where like there were guys doing a signing, and like Cullen Bunn. Mm-hmm. I just said, hey, trying to push everyone
everything
else off
I
the stand.
Sell is
And then I talked to Kurt Pines, who's doing a couple books, and I thanked him for sending me a PDF, and just little things like that. And they're really respectful. I'm not, I don't want anything signed. I'm just trying to talk to you. Mike Grell was awesome, huge fan, but I've seen him a couple times. But the one real bad experience that really soured me was strangely, a fan favorite of George Perez when a couple years ago here. I dug out my New Teen Titans number one, the first book I ever bought at a convention when it was up there outselling X-Men, I couldn't find it. And I took that to get it signed and, told him, it was the first book I ever got. Now I have a store. This is awesome. He went, that's nice. Signed it. And looked to the guy behind me like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was just like, wow, could you be a little more dismissive? So really completely affected my opinion of him.
Probably.
No, I still have it, but I mean, his new stuff I don't order as high. I don't hold him in any esteem like I used to.
I've had such positive experiences with him. Though,
yeah,
he's
it was just
such
it
a,
was just I didn't I don't know what I wanted, but I certainly
I wonder what was going on there.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. I've heard a lot of horror stories, but that's my only
Horror stories involving him? No, but for, of people's... Like, no, not him, but of people dealing with people. Like, no, no. The only other weird one I had, it was Steranko. It was at the Philly Comic-Con, Wizard World Philly. And
did he beat up a robot in front of you?
He did not. He did not. But
he would have had one beat up in front of him.
I was excited to sit in his panel, and he was like, "Oh, and you know who I based such and such character or thing, some character off of?" And we're all like, "Oh no, some '50s actor like he expected us to know." And we were like, "Never heard of him." And then at the end, a girl wanted him to sign his shield, like the Nick Fury shield trade, but. He couldn't because he was in a dispute with Marvel over the payments on that printing and wouldn't sign it. And it was just one of those, what? Yeah. And it was like a young girl, like, you know, 8, 10. Yeah. And it was just like, wow, what a.
He's sitting there talking to an 8-year-old about payment disputes.
Yeah. And it was like, it was just really just a what an, you know, what a jerk like, really type of situation. Yeah. So, that's it. But yeah, I have to say most of the time, the guys are always good. The only thing I don't like is when they're sitting talking with like one of their friends, and it's like you're interrupting them to get something signed, and they kind of don't even pay any attention to you. It's like,
yeah,
I don't care for that. Oh, thanks. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and what about you? It's like you can talk to him anytime. You know, talk to him at the bar after.
Right.
Focus now. So, I saw some of that at San Diego too. That's all I got, Josh.
I've actually never gone to a real con.
That Valiant guy was a real jerk that last time you went to.
Well, I wouldn't count him. He's not a creator.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, the guy was cool as hell. I mean,
yeah,
it was great getting to talk to him. He gave me.
I'm working it.
He gave me a that retailer white copy of Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, so that was cool. But as far as creators go, I'd have to say the same as Pat because that's really been my only experience thus far. Rich?
Well, I have not been to any cons, and I've only done one signing here, so I will I'll go outside the comic world and
intrigued.
I don't really have a
I feel like there should be a sound effect for that, like
see, like Dave,
so here we are outside of the comic book world.
Unlike Dave, this may say something about my personality, but I can't think of any like really like great experience kind of thing, so I'll give two or negative one through no fault of the celebrities. But the one that was just kind of bad, it was just sort of, I mean, it's almost like you're ambivalent to the whole thing. I went to a book signing with Tom Clancy, and it was a book he'd written with somebody else. And he had this, like they would tell you, like, yeah, don't ask any questions, don't talk to him, you know. So it was like the soup Nazi, you know.
Make eye contact.
You step up, you set your book down, you wait.
Yeah.
You grab your book, you slide to the right, you set your book, you know, and it was like a morgue in the story, yeah. You know, it was really kind of, so that one was just kind of like, I mean, he wrote great books, certainly, so I can't fault that, but he just wasn't very dynamic in that person, I guess, at least in the experience side. And then the other one, which wasn't the celebrity's fault, was, it was quite a while back, I was in Florida. My wife was down there for work, so I went down for like the weekend and joined her in Fort Lauderdale.
It was Mickey Mouse.
And we were in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, okay.
So we went back to her hotel after dinner, and we were on the elevator, and like two older gentlemen get in, you know, sort of dressed nice Florida casual. Go up a couple floors, one gets off, so then there's just one gentleman and my wife and I in the elevator. So we got a few more floors, and he gets off. And as soon as the door shut, I turn to my wife and I go, "You know who that was, right?" And she's like, "No." And I go, "Yeah, that was Tommy Lasorda." Because he could like see me eyeing him up, but I didn't want to say anything because I was like, to which my wife immediately replied, "Who? Yeah, I think my uncle played baseball with him in like North Carolina or something." And I was like, "Why did I not know this before I was in an elevator with Tommy Lasorda by myself?"
It's probably good you didn't say anything because I've heard like he's a real jerk and everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was just kind of, you know, he seemed to be. It was evening, you know, and it seemed like it was after dinner and after drinks, maybe. Yeah. So he seemed kind of casual.
He said one floor, you said two, and he was just like.
But I was like, that was a potential, like, you know.
You could have made a conversation.
Hey, I knew a guy who might have played baseball with you, and then, you know. So it was just a missed opportunity, I guess, in my mind. But it might not have worked anyway, so maybe it was just
I don't remember
wife.
That guy.
That was the story had a downer.
So my new
right
wife. So, yeah. So my wife will never listen to this, so I pretty much can say what I want.
And my next wife will never.
So that was it for me. So sorry,
Adam.
I thought you went first.
I'm gonna go.
No, no, you skipped and went to me.
That one's not typical.
I let everybody else go before me.
He has to think about.
Oh, so my jumping in front of you.
Yeah.
He's only had the question for a week, so he doesn't know.
Colin's had it for months. Actually, once he read the question, I remembered getting it as well. But Colin has had it for months.
Yeah. I'll start with my positive. My positive experience and etiquette.
I wonder how many people would say you as their negative experience. How many creators?
Do you know that guy, Adam? Oh, yeah, we know him.
Got the hat? Yeah. Got the hat.
Yeah, he kept asking me to draw Zelda for some reason.
Because I love to dress up like her.
That part I wouldn't say.
If you had said that to
he wouldn't
him,
say. He didn't deny it, but he wouldn't right. say it.
If you had said it to him, would you have told him you got daved afterwards?
Probably.
You just got daved. You just got joshed.
Like, you can't steal his line.
I asked him first.
Oh, they're Thunder Buddies. They
loner.
Can.
Just a loner.
Thunder Buddies Part 2.
Anyways, my positive experience at a convention would be Anthony Daniels. Anthony Daniels, who anybody, I'm sure all of you know, is C-3PO.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just really nice guy.
Is he in Wrath of Khan?
Except for he really hates Kenny Baker.
He didn't even acknowledge that one. Yeah, he hates, yeah. Does he really?
Yeah, they really don't like each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
he didn't even acknowledge Colin.
Wait, I was listening. What did you say?
He asked if Anthony Daniels was in Wrath of Khan.
No, he was in The Search for Spock.
Okay.
But he just went on with it.
Now he's just playing with me.
Yeah. He was just a really nice guy, and he would sometimes, you know, leave the line and check on people and be like, "Oh, how are you doing? You know, and he
did
would
he
just
walk
keep
real
everybody
stiff?
More positive. No,
okay.
Is that like his natural speaking voice?
Pretty much, yeah.
So like, if you didn't know who he was, and he talked like,
robotic,
you sound like
C-3PO.
It's pretty close.
Is it close?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He just, I don't know, the best guy I've ever met at one of these things. Just he's just really nice.
That's
person.
Cool because, you know, I love these, you know, these celebrities, you know, who embrace, yeah. you know, the fandom and their characters and yeah. they, and appreciate that. So, and he really seems to do that.
Well, and this isn't really my worst experience at a convention, but it wasn't a very good part of a convention. Same convention, actually, meeting another Star Wars character, which is Billy Dee Williams. Billy Dee Williams does not want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, he is just not...
Yeah, I kind of heard he was...
And he doesn't want, like, to take pictures with you unless they're professionally taken.
I actually like
that. He charges really high.
You know? I actually like that.
His son was there. His son played a bit part in Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
And when Billy Dee Williams got to me, or maybe the person before me, he said, he was like, "I gotta go to the bathroom." He told somebody. He just up and left. And his son looked at us. He's like, "You know what? I can just sign that for you because I know how to sign in his name." But he was so personable, though. He was just a really nice... He was joking.
Yeah.
But he was just really nice. I was like, "I'd rather meet you now because this guy obviously doesn't want to meet with anybody."
He had to go to the bathroom.
No, I don't mean that. He just... You'd have to have been there. He didn't want to.
He's an older gentleman.
He did not. He was
wait.
Also an hour late. An hour late.
Well, he had a few too many Colt 45, so, you know.
He seemed like he might have, actually, when he was just not
there. Are you implying he's a drunk?
I think he was drunk at this.
He swindled Han out of the Millennium Falcon. So what do you expect?
No, Han got it from him.
Yeah.
Dave. Because
Scotty,
you got packed.
Counting cards.
I got padded.
My really negative experience.
Everyone knows
was,
his Chekhov that counts cards.
Fair enough.
He's Russian.
Now you're just playing along with it, man. That's no fun.
He's not.
Does it make it less?
Is that how you look? Is that how you screw it up?
That makes it more fun for me.
That's how you do it. You twisted around on it. My really negative experience is very similar to Rich's.
That was your negative experience.
No, I said that. I was saying the Star Wars one, but just another Star Wars
now
one.
Now my comic negative experience. Now my TV star negative experience.
90 minutes later. Yeah. And my last negative experience.
We good?
Burning daylight here, Adam. Yeah, let's go.
I'm trying. Very similar to Rich's, though, in the fact that it was actually Stan Lee. And Stan Lee meeting him was exactly the way you were meeting Tom Clancy. That it was just... It was a machine. Like, you had a table probably... Dave is where Stan Lee was. So it's the end of a... What is this?
Six foot table.
At the end of a 6 foot table, I was probably around here. Couldn't hand him the book. I had to hand it to one of his guys. His guy gave it to him. Couldn't really have a conversation. They hand it to another guy. They hand it to you. You leave.
This way you don't find out he's really a hologram.
Yeah, that's probably the thing. We were also threatened at the beginning of the whole thing while we were waiting on Hyde. Do not give him a handshake. You will break Stan Lee. He actually said this. You will break his hand. Like, that's what they said. It's very possible. Nothing. You couldn't really do much. And then... I mean, I understand.
But I wanted to pose him.
I mean, I understand if somebody was wanting to hug Stan Lee, I'd be like, okay, now you're going too far. You shouldn't be in this line. But it was just... There was nothing. Like, you basically... Book, sign, out. And that was it. So... I almost, you know, I've heard better experiences at early, you know, people meeting Stan Lee earlier than that, where they're just like, yeah, I got to tell him, you know, something about our life.
I mean,
it's a lot of the hype. It's not necessarily his fault. It's a lot of the Marvel hype right now, where everybody has to meet Stan Lee because, you know, he was in all these movies, and basically they have to get everything done. And so you don't get that experience anymore that you would of meeting Stan Lee. And it just, I don't know. Wasn't a very good experience. Not what I expected. I mean, it's cool to meet, you know, have a book signed, you know, see Stan Lee, but you kind of expected to, you know, at least say something to him or even thank him for signing the book, and that wasn't there, so.
You can't yell across a 6 foot table? Because I can.
You could. You'd probably be kicked out. Because if you yell, you're creating airway air, and Stan Lee would turn into dust. And how would you want to be the one that was just like, you did it? You disintegrated Stan Lee.
You breathe wrong in Stan Lee's direction. He turns into the guy at the end of Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Chose
and that
poorly.
Was it. I was just like, no.
You just hear, hello, true believers.
It would be, goodbye, Excelsior.
Everything I've ever seen with Stan Lee in, though, and every time I've ever seen him speak, he's always come across to me in the same, I would use the same word to describe him as I used to describe Kyle Higgins earlier.
Arrogant? Did you say arrogant?
No, he used
douche.
I've always thought Stan Lee is kind of a douche.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I said it. I already did it.
It's too late. It's recorded. He'll edit it out. It'll be the first censored thing of all the things that anybody has said. Of all the things that Pat has said here, you'll be the one who gets the bleep. They're just like, what did he say? It's awful.
I'm on best behavior when the recorder's on.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Have you heard me when the recorder's off?
Yeah, he talks like a...
You're better.
Talks like a
Marine. I would say
talks
I'm on
like
best
a,
behavior.
An Army guy. Sorry. Best I could do.
You panicked? You're talking about Stan Lee, so you panicked?
Yeah.
He's like, no, he's never going to come on the podcast.
He can't come on the letters.
I don't think we could afford him.
We wouldn't be able to hear him on the microphone with him sitting.
Don't talk in the direction of Stan Lee.
That's silly.
You'd have to give up your chair for Stan Lee.
I would give up my chair for Stan Lee.
Good.
No, I think he would get one of the red chairs.
Yeah. Not it.
Not it. Hey, I thought you were going to call shotgun for a second there.
Nope, not it.
Oh,
not it. Rules apply.
What's that?
Not it. Rules apply. Here at the comic book store.
I'll Rochambeau you for it.
Oh,
you know, I'm happy. I will give up my chair for Stan
Lee.
There you go.
I mean, it'd be the polite thing to do,
yes.
But I still think he's kind of a dude.
I like how we came straight back. We went straight back to that.
No, he's going to get beeped twice.
Yeah. I thought you were done with that.
All right, let's transition out of this for Josh gets in trouble. So what'd you read last week, Colin?
I'm not going to get in trouble, for my opinion. My
Josh is like,
my
don't
own.
Interrupt me,
I'm not done calling him a douche.
I will not be silenced.
First Amendment, baby.
Give him the mic. Let him get this out of his system.
And you know who else is a douche?
Kyle Leggett.
You guys honestly are telling me that you've never... had the feeling that Stan Lee in real life is probably kind of a douche.
Mm-mm.
You love Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. You don't count.
I don't think he's...
I could see where he would be, you know, if he believes his own hype. But, like, I've never met the man. I've never
like
been...
Every what interview... One person every... that I know in comics that I'm just sure of it is Neil Adams. But Neil Adams, I mean, you've seen his art. It's pretty awesome. So, him... And I've always thought that about Bob Kane.
Yeah,
because that's been said, even, that he is a...
Are you okay? No, I am fine. Go ahead.
He messed up in backgammon, so he's upset.
I didn't mess up. The guy cheated. The only way he could beat me was double sixes.
How the sausage is made. Colin plays backgammon. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Adam talks. Yeah, come on. You guys at home do it, too.
While everybody talks. He's still playing.
Just wait. You were telling your story. You want to know what I read?
Yeah, what'd you
read? I read this little book. I only sold 100 of them.
We all blew out our phones and started playing.
Only 100?
I'll be back in a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
You read it? You bought like three
copies. No, I'm just following
this. You didn't read it?
No, I didn't read it yet.
You didn't read it last week of the podcast?
No.
No, because I wanted to finish reading Strikes Again before I read.
Oh.
I wouldn't.
Well, I'm already almost done now.
I wouldn't. I just stopped now. It's awful.
What?
Strikes Again.
I don't mind it, actually.
I didn't like it.
Well,
that's another story.
He hates everything.
I'll accept it because that book's awful.
Well, I didn't mean to chase Josh off, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, burr-burr-burr-burr-burr.
Dobly-dobly.
I think he's still upset about Stanley.
He's back there kicking. He's going
to...
Silly old man. That's what he's saying. Think he created Spider-Man?
Josh hates Stan
Lee. What are you saying?
You are exactly reading my mind.
Wow, he's going to give him that title.
Wow.
How many emails is he going to get from all of your customers who are going to be like, I hate you. He's like, you're so...
Well, wait a second, though. His customers? This is a DC store.
Okay.
Who's Stan Lee?
He just types...
Did Stan Lee create Hawkman? What?
Who's did you hear what he did?
The podcast title?
Yeah.
Get it out of your system.
As he walks in going, but no, that's not what I said.
You know what? You might have some good points. Get it out of your system.
Come on, don't pull a Matt if you're going to sit here. Come on, sit.
But I'll wait until later. I don't want to get hate mail.
You're going to wait until us all later. After the podcast.
I don't think he's that talented.
Avenging hour.
Go.
Avenging hour. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
No,
his claim to fame is he created a bunch of characters
that he doesn't know his own name.
When there wasn't characters around.
Yeah.
How good are the stories?
You know what? I have agreements with him on that because Stanley
agreements
on that.
I agree with him.
He's popular.
I am in agreement.
He did go to school in West Virginia.
Fair enough.
Dobly, dobly,
dobly. Hold on. Get it out of their system.
We're getting all the listeners this week. What are we in here? Oh, an hour in. Yeah. Still rambling about nothing.
Anyways.
Okay, are you in agreeance with
us? He didn't have agreeance with me.
He didn't have that out of his system.
You've been like poised to say something.
I'm waiting until he calms down because every time.
Well, it's after 9 o'clock. That's not going to happen. So you just better go.
You got a point. Man. The whole thing about it is he's the voice of Marvel. That's what he's kind of credited for,
and that's fine. But he gets a lot more hype than I think is.
Look,
is
someone deserved. Had to put their name on Jack Kirby's comic books. We can all agree to that.
Agreed.
Colin's going to cry now, but...
Colin's like, this is not my podcast anymore. The thing is, no. Stan Lee, he created a bunch of characters that people were able to adapt after.
He created a shared universe.
Into what he did.
He created characters that had real-world problems as opposed to just...
Now,
he created a lot. He did a lot.
Where it comes to... Where he made... I don't know. He made a bunch of characters that people could work off of. And that's what he did. He created a universe.
Yeah.
So Bob Kane, you know.
Bill Finger. Was a jerk.
Yeah. Right, but I'm saying Bob Kane came up with a generic idea. Stan did a lot. He was the public face of that company when it needed a public face. When you had DC that was... DC was a corporation that had no soul, had no personality. He gave Marvel the thing. How many kids growing up, that's the voice of
Marvel.
Oh, you're absolutely
right. You hear his voice.
That's where you have to credit him.
Yeah.
Now,
no, and I'll give him that credit. Yeah.
Now, where it comes that did Stan Lee make everything that Marvel does
today?
No. No, he didn't.
No.
And I think I think that's a lot of the hype anymore about, especially the movies where people will be like, you know, think of watching Jessica Jones. How many characters there were Stan Lee's? One.
Okay.
It's Purple Man.
Yeah.
And that was it. Now, how many people watched Jessica Jones not knowing that and said, Stan Lee totally made all this
stuff?
You know?
No,
that's
the
problem.
I'm not saying he did everything, but he.
I think that's the problem.
Well, no, but not only that.
I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I'm just saying I don't think that.
Yeah.
His talents he created a lot of characters. I also think it was much easier to do that at that point in time. I don't think his talents as a straight up comic book creator are as great as people give him credit for. I don't think the stories...
Okay, but I think he did what he did at a time when it needed it, when comics could have easily gone down. He created this idea, got excitement. I'm sure, back then, was he a jerk? Absolutely. You know, when you see the pictures, him and the mustache and, you know, in Playboy and all that, I bet he was unbearable.
You know, truthfully, by what they said, he didn't really even want to do what he was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted
he wanted to be a writer, not a comic book
and,
writer.
And he just turned into that. And basically, he as the voice of Marvel, he sold Marvel. He became Marvel. Like, he was the living embodiment of them. And but where it comes to creativity, not a lot of the stories are that memorable.
No, they're not. That's but I think the big picture thing, I think. Because, I mean, you read Jack Kirby stuff.
It's not that good either.
No, his art is great. Yeah. His stories
And truthfully, a lot of that early stuff isn't.
Aren't great.
It's just starting out. And then people found the comic book world has evolved. And that's kind of what it did
Exactly. When you think of Batman, you don't just think of what Bob Kane did. You think of what's happened since Bob Kane left.
I think what
developed the character. Spider-Man, same way. It's not just what Stan Lee did. It's over time, all the different
writers. It's how he developed Marvel into what it is today. That's where you credit him. But yeah, where it comes to creativity, reading stories about it, it's not there. And I think one thing that you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like I think it's more that you're looking at the hype is big on Stan Lee, and it shouldn't be as big as it is, and it wasn't.
He was the hype master.
The hype is huge, and he's not in the slightest way humble about it at all.
No,
that's true too.
Not at all.
But that was part of his role, part of the character of Stan Lee, was to play it big and brash.
And I said something similar.
You know, do that, and of course, he's taken on a lot of those concept. But
he's an early version of Paul Heyman.
Yeah, but when you think back to what the Marvel method was he had 12 books he had to get out. Okay, we'll do a Thor book, and this is the basic plot. Go. The guy goes, he draws it, he brings it back.
Yeah.
Okay, what was I doing here? I don't remember.
He's
okay.
Perfect as an editor.
And then he'd have to script what was there, so he didn't have time to write out a formal script for every book.
Brown.
So there was a lot of...
Which his name was
I
Jones last week.
I think today you could use better people like that. There were more ideas that you could tell your writers, okay, this is the direction we're going in, and this is what you need to develop, which I think that's what Marvel's lacking right now.
But
I think they had that with Joe Quesada. I think they had that. And I think, that last 10 years of comics from Marvel, I think had some structure to it. Where today, it doesn't.
I also think he was a visionary in the sense of, this looks good, this doesn't. And he could see, because I remember it wasn't the Marvel book, I think it might have been Jim Shooter's blog, where he was talking about he wanted to cover a certain color or something. And the colorist, the guy coloring it, said, "I can't do that because Stan says we can't use green on a cover." And he's like, "What?" And he went in to talk to Stan, and Stan's like, "No." He may have said on that particular cover, green wouldn't work, but someone took that as a rule because it's Stan. There was a classic one where he was looking at Iron Man once and just made the offhand comment, "God, he looks really weird without a nose," because Iron Man doesn't have a nose.
Yeah.
After that, for like 8 months, he had a nose. And he's like, I never said he needed a nose. I just said he looked weird without a nose. But so
I think a lot of stuff gets attributed to him that wasn't necessarily, it wasn't him saying.
It was an offhand comment that got turned into,
but just because of him. But I think he did have an eye for things, and, you know, just could spot things, or, you know, it wasn't like a hard, fast rule, and, you know, but he'd go, ah, what if we did this? Boom. You know, and something, a lot of things work.
I said something similar to that on Facebook that you're saying now, though, about Stan Lee, and I got a lot of, like, backlash on that, because people were just like, hey, Stan Lee, I got
to
protect him.
I'm not trying to say I hate Stan Lee. I respect what Stan Lee...
Two of us had the same independent idea at the same time.
I respect what Stan Lee has done, and I agree that Stan Lee had a lot of, you know, ideas that really, you know, shaped Marvel and shaped the comic industry.
But he's a douche.
He is kind of a douche, and as
or he comes off
as a writer, I don't think that he is that talented. But with ideas, coming with the basic ideas and the shared universe and putting in the infrastructure and things like tweaking or the editing, then yeah, fine, I'll give you that. But
it's nice that
is he ever off?
What do you mean?
Is he just playing the character of Stan Lee all the time in all public appearances? You know, behind closed doors with his family, I'm sure he's not that big of an ass. I would hope. But
Stan Lee,
in public, he has a persona. You know, it's like if he doesn't act like Stan Lee, then what's wrong with
Stan Lee?
I
do understand what you're saying, but you're right. He's a character.
He's become
now.
A Marvel character.
A person.
And, I think that's what he did well as, because you can't, I mean, how many people out there can you say, you know, are like the face of something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, and he did. He became the face of it. I think he helped sell it. And that was his job. And that's why he said, but I got, you know, backlash on it because I was just like, people, you know, Stan Lee is, they give him all these cameos, but then you're not getting a lot of people like Claremont and stuff in there, where Claremont really created the X-Men that we know.
And that's what my issue is.
I think that was because, not because of what I think.
I feel like there's so much hype and so much, you know, love for Stan Lee, and a lot of other people just get forgotten about.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'd rather. I'd rather see a little more respect for those carrot people as well, but I don't see it happening because people get into the hype.
Yeah, but you also can't confuse respect for Stan Lee with disrespect for other people.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying give him respect but not Jack Kirby, but I think they worked very well together.
Yeah. And not necessarily blaming Stan Lee for that either. You know.
I mean, did Kirby do the yeoman's work on, like, that Fantastic Four run? Probably.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff that Kirby did later, you know, was just kind of wacky. But I thought they were a good team. But, so, you can leave now, Josh.
You're not going
to... I'm ready to talk about something that has absolutely nothing to do with Stan Lee. So, to give away the twist ending... Oh, sorry. No, getting back to Dark Knight Master Race... Dark Knight 3 Master Race number 1. I did not know how this was going to sell. I ordered 100 copies just because I had an inkling Justin would want the 1-in-100 variant. The next level was 500. Wasn't going near that. So I did the 100 copies, and it's like, okay, how bad am I going to
take a bath on this? It was, what, a $7.99 book?
$5.99.
Okay.
But it was one of those, okay. I normally sell about 100 and so copies of Batman. But there's not necessarily the same correlation. If you're reading Snyder Batman, you're not necessarily going to want this.
Yeah.
So I had really nothing to base my numbers on. I, you know, wasn't open during Dark Knight 2. And as of right now, I have no copies on the shelf. Some in folders and stuff. But that totally blows me away. So it's exceeded my
expectations,
wildest dreams, let's say. I figured if nothing else, at least I'd have them to sell for the 9 months that the series is going to go on.
Yeah.
So that it, you know, but when the last issue comes out, I still have some ones on the shelf.
Can you get more ones?
Yeah, still available. I mean, I still have the hardcovers coming.
So it's not going to be a collector's item.
Well, no, it's not going to be a collector's item when you had, you figure everybody that did a retailer exclusive had to order so many. There's a lot of copies out there.
Yeah.
Actually, I just got in a couple copies from Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
variants, especially really, really good variant.
I mean, there was like 50 different variants.
Oh, there were so many.
And a lot of them were really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the only local comic shop day a book I sold through. But I really enjoyed that. That was about the only book I read that night when I went home. And I just, from the very first panel, it had the feel of Dark Knight Returns. Because I've been watching it here a lot. Just some background noise, mostly. But, so I'm watching the animated series, sorry. I'm not watching a book. But it definitely had the feel of the original. Just really liked it. I thought the art was very good. I see other people hating it, but
It looks very much in style to the original, and that's not a bad thing.
I thought it had like a lot of the original style, but then a lot of new style.
It was updated.
Which didn't bother me at all.
No,
there was even a little Mezzicelli when he was attacking the police. There was definitely a feel of that. And I had no idea what to make of that mini comic. Just since I've been hearing about it, I'm like, mini comic, what are you talking about? What is this?
Yeah.
That was, I thought, really good. And I thought Miller's art on that, especially after Holy Terror, I was very scared after seeing that Wonder Woman. It's like, oh God, what's this going to be? I thought it was great.
Yeah. There's a pose that the Atom was standing in, which
was like, a little off.
Okay.
Other than that, you can't expect that much.
No, I got to... When that comes in the hardcover, though...
Next week?
No, right, I know next week, but the Atom book, is that going to be placed at the end, or is that going to be in the middle?
No, it's at the end in full size.
No, I know you said it was in full size, but that's... Yeah.
If we had finished watching the Periscope, you would have seen it.
Okay. Because that was one of the concerns I had as I was reading it. I remember I had to ask you, okay, do I start reading the Atom comic or do I wait till the end?
Yeah. But very excited for the next one.
But we gotta wait a month.
Yeah. But I thought it was really, really good. Yeah, and I'm not the only one. It was funny. Bleeding Cool, I made a little, well, no, I just sent that as a message to you guys.
Yeah.
Bleeding Cool had an article that said the good, the bad, and the ugly of Dark Knight reviews. And so I'm like, okay, I'm interested to read what's the bad and the ugly. And I start reading it, and it's like 12 reviews, 11 of which were like 8 out of 10, which is what I would have given it. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't outstanding, but I thought it was a very good start. And then one where the guy just, you don't even know if he read the book. He hated the idea of the book and everything about it.
He was a fanboy.
Yeah. And it was just like, okay, so what was bad and ugly? You had 11 good reviews and one bad review. Boy. So
that was the ugly part. Yeah. There was only one bad review.
Yeah. I did find one little thing funny because it was a little surreal. I shared that on my page. I shared it on my page, and then I just wrote a little editorial just basically saying I'm kind of done with Bleeding Cool after the Dennis Barger thing, making him the most
influential
retailer. And which he's the loudest and most obnoxious, but other than that, I don't, think he's the most influential. But after that, and then I said, and look, the website crashed my laptop as I was trying to type this, which it did. It froze it. And I just said, basically, it's just a misleading article. It's indicating people don't like the book when, according to their own reviews, 90% of the people feel the same way I did about it.
Yeah.
It cracked me up only because the first person to like it was Patrick Brower. Now, who Patrick Brower is he owns Challengers Comics in Chicago, which I believe won an Eisner.
Okay.
And just, someone I really look up to, I just thought it was hilarious that he liked it. And I don't quite know how he found me to like it, but unless he's a fan
maybe
of the page.
Maybe he takes everything that hates.
No, but it was just very funny that he did it. It was just funny to me. Who liked my little comment. But yeah, I just feel it.
Another guy from Chicago.
No, but I thought it was really good, and I was surprised how many negative reviews and how many, even just retailers on the Comics Pro page, how many people weren't looking forward to it, were angry about it, were dismissive of it.
Well, why would you be, like, that's what I don't get. Why would you be angry about it? You can say, I'm not going to push this real hard. But there's no it's something different. There's no reason to be angry.
Well, a lot of people are looking at it as DC. It's like a last gasp Hail Mary, and it's desperation. And yeah, it's just.
But okay. But it's not like they're saying, okay, we're not going to have our Batman book for 8 months. Instead, we're going to do DK3.
Yeah.
No, they're running them in parallel. So if you have customers that really love The Dark Knight, that's great. That's another book they're buying.
What do other companies have right now that are like comparing to doing something like that? You know, some not an event, but like bringing out a book that's like this.
Well, but that's but Marvel, I mean, they shut their whole line down for months in order to run an event.
It's just
event.
Like you're keeping it going.
As a retailer, I'd be more angry about that than the fact that there's an additional book.
I just don't get all the hate on stuff like that. If you don't want to read it, don't read it. But don't sit there and, you know, on it just because, DC needs to think before they act.
No, but from a retailer perspective, there's no reason to be angry about it. There's not at all. It's something else you can try to sell.
If you didn't sell that book, then you have an issue. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And then the other thing that... the Dennis Barger thing where he did a competition to see if he could sell more Moon Girl than Dark Knight and only managed to sell 18 Dark Knight. I'm like, really? The most influential retailer in the country could only sell 16 copies of Dark Knight? I'm like, wow, then I must be...
If you can't sell that much in Batman alone, then you have a problem.
And I'm not saying my 100 is a huge number. I'm sure there's stores out there that sold...
But...
tons more.
I would ask, because that can be a skewed number, though. I mean, if he only sells 18 copies of Batman normally, which I'm sure he sells more, but if that's all he's selling Batman, then, okay, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Right, but then, no offense, how is he the most influential?
I'm not disagreeing with that.
I'm not saying you have to sell huge numbers to be influential, but I think you have to be more than just a little corner store.
No, but if you're saying... I'm going to sell more Moon Girl than okay, but
and still only sold 14 Moon Girls.
Right, so. But if you don't sell Batman, if you're a straight up Marvel store and you only sell Marvel, then that's not really that impressive.
Yeah. So who else read it?
I did. I enjoyed it. I thought it did good in terms of world building. It set up the story nicely. You know, I'm excited for issue 2. I wish it wasn't a month away, but it is what it is. I mean, it's like any other series, and I just gotta wait.
I think it was a perfect first issue.
Yeah,
like it introduced the book.
Six Gun Gorilla, so hold on.
No,
but it introduced the book. It introduced what was gonna be happening, and. You know, it gave you some excitement by the end.
Yeah, because you know that
I can't wait for the second issue.
Right, because you know that twist is not right.
Yeah, I mean, it just did a good job.
Oh, no.
And then the mini comic itself was just a fun addition to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just, I don't know.
It definitely let you know what the Master Race is going to be.
Yeah. So, no, it was just, it was really good. I mean, I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah, the whole thing was Superman and Wonder Woman. You know, it was just, there was a lot there I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Brought in a lot of the characters from the previous incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
And just was a good first issue.
Yeah, and it's been so long since I read The Dark Knight Returns or Strikes Back. So is that... Were Superman and Wonder Woman involved?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Strikes
Superman
was
big in the first one. Superman and
I mean, I know Superman was involved in the first one, but like, I don't remember Wonder Woman being in there.
Yeah, the second one.
Okay.
Big time.
It's been a long time since I read that.
That's okay.
So I can't see anybody really hating that book. I can see somebody, like, what were the bad, like, the good, the bad,
it was
the
just
ugly?
One.
Was
it was just one bad, and but the guy was just...
I thought that was the ugly, the only
other one. Oh, whatever. I don't know. There was only one other one.
I was just curious on what, if they had, like, interesting, you know...
No.
Why they said bad and gave it only 8 stars.
No, but that's, you know.
You just tell he was predisposed to not.
Yeah, some people just aren't going to like it, and that's okay. It's not for you, but that seems to be a strange thing to review if you just, I automatically know I'm not going to like something.
Yeah. I don't know. It was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
If you didn't like it, you're No, you just don't read it.
No, you're not wrong if you didn't like it. That's okay. It's
if you didn't like it, don't be bad. That's all. You know. Who knows?
All right, Josh, you can come back.
Is that John Wayne?
It's like half John Wayne, half Cyborg.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. So John Wayne Cyborg is the antagonist.
So what else did you read there, Colin?
Me, yeah, I also read Ringside. I know Adam read that.
I read that too.
My friend, Joe Keating.
He's your friend?
He's a friend of mine.
Is he going to come in and get his sign in?
That'd be awesome, except he lives in Portland.
So
that's a long way
Fly
to go.
Fly out with all your riches. Go into your Scrooge McDuck vault. Die then. Scrooge McMahon vault.
Okay, sure.
You swim in it every day. You might as well get that money out.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I would think that would hurt.
There's a reason I wear the same shirt every day.
Dive into
Adam.
The big thing of money?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wait, what? There's a reason you wear that shirt every day?
Yeah, because
you saying you don't, like, shower or anything? Or what are you saying?
Gross. Is there unsweetened tea in there?
Yeah, there's a diet. Yeah, there's no unsweetened, sorry. Give me one of those diet ones.
The lemon one was really good.
Sorry, that's I didn't know anybody wanted unsweetened. Next time.
Is the purple cherry
next
zero?
Time.
Gotcha. No, it's just cherry Coke.
Can I have a zero hat? Thanks.
Now everybody knows our tastes and pop. Ringside. Joe Keating. Basically, the story of a former wrestler who is like his tag team partner got into trouble with.
We don't know what.
Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly with who, but it's some bad guys.
Yeah.
And he kind of has
probably
to.
Probably said bad things about Stanley.
He has to,
yeah, that's what it was.
He has to come back and try to help him. And that was the gist.
While
of it.
Everybody thinks he's coming back into wrestling, he's been in Japan for so long.
Yeah.
And he was working as a trainer. Yeah. And he's called by this friend. He says, okay, I'm coming back in. Everybody, when he comes back to this town, is just like, oh, you're coming back, getting back involved. Even, like, his old agent, it looked like, that had him already, like, all these signs and posters. And he was just like, no. And he was very angry about that, too. He was just like, I don't want to be involved. So there's some past involved there. Of
you don't know
why
he left.
There's a lot going on with this friend of his. It's just... Yeah. It was a good first issue. Both of these books were really good first issues that it just gave you enough.
It didn't have a
to get you excited. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Just enough to get you excited for this book. But I really did think of it. And don't think because you're not a fan of professional wrestling, which I am in no
there
way.
There was really no wrestling in it.
You
know, watch it every week.
It's on the television every week.
It's Barry's fault.
It's just really, it's the backdrop of what's going on. The guy happens to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know.
But the story is a lot bigger than that. I really do recommend this book because I don't remember how I saw it. If it was like a preview in one of like Walking Dead or something, because I don't read
Yeah, that's
a lot
what
of
it was. It. Walking Dead had the exclusive preview.
Yeah, and it was just... I was reading it, and I
we
was
got
just
a PDF
like,
weeks
I was
ago.
Looking it over, and I was like,
I know
this
the writer.
Looks interesting. Oh. Just the
like,
idea.
You're going to have him out.
How many times in this podcast have you said, I've known that writer?
I'm getting tired. Patting yourself in the back?
You had trouble opening that the other day, too, because you remember while you were behind the cash register, you said, you're like, there's a lot involved in
there
all
it is. Peeling that. Peeling that.
He's got to peel it and open it.
If you try to shake his hand, you'll break Colin.
Nobody breathe.
He's a douche, too.
New title of the podcast.
No. He's going to have to live with Josh Hates Stan Lee for that being up
I'll
there.
I'll take it.
He's going to get all... What if somebody murders him because of you?
He'll only be upset that I won't be buying my pull list every week.
You mean Zach is going to drive up from Texas and murder Josh?
Yeah. And then who will... When the podcast or the website goes all crazy, what are you going to do?
Well, not only that, then when Zach
so
goes to jail,
Josh,
we won't have anybody
said.
To send us questions.
Just stirring.
You have money to pay someone?
What? With all of his riches, he'll dive in the Scourge McMahon vault.
And he accidentally gave you his first dime, and now.
Yeah. Once he got that dime, it was just like he has a whole story about it. Well, I think we're mixing it up. I think that was Scrooge McDuck, actually. Ringside, go get it.
Should I go back in there?
No, you're good. You're good. What else, Colin?
Yeah, what else did you read, Colin? Any good books?
Oh.
Did I say that wrong? Did you read any more good books? There we go.
No.
He's drunk.
Yeah. I read Silk drunk number one.
I read that.
Which it was fine in itself.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the twists in it.
Mm-hmm.
She's
a triple agent.
Ooh. Yeah. But what I didn't care for is that, not even that I didn't care for it, it's just nothing has changed for...
Secret Wars.
Yeah, like, I mean, she's doing things a little bit different. Like, things have changed with her, but it's nothing that's changed because of a new, you know, universe or whatever.
She wasn't all new to all different Silk?
What did you think of her before, like, when it all started, when they introduced the characters? Do you think that much of the introduction...
I mean, I actually really liked her.
Just didn't pick up the book.
Introduced her in
Spider-Man.
Yeah, I liked the character. Her character in her solo book, her personality is a bit different than how Dan Slott was writing the character, which at first threw me off. But it's fun. I enjoy her series. I almost didn't pick it up because I don't want to be involved in this big Spider-Man crossover that I've heard about.
That's kind of the thing.
There's another one. Yay. Yeah.
So that was the only thing that almost stopped me, but
the Revenge of Scuba Steve.
Yeah, but I decided to give it a chance, and it was good. But yeah, nothing changes. This book picks up exactly where the previous volume left off before Secret War. She's still doing the exact same things, the same status quo. It's just,
wasn't she working at the place channel. Where was that where Joe Janet Jameson worked?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
who?
Joe, I know. I said it wrong.
Jameson.
It's not an easy one to say fast.
Like, and we give Stan Lee hell.
You're the Spider-Man guy, and you don't even know who his boss is.
There we go.
Joe Triple Jonah J. Jameson.
That's it. That is his name, right there.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Biblical Joe, name. Did I say Joe?
Yes.
I didn't realize
that's why
you
said it. You said
again,
Joe.
You're right, though. It is 9 o'clock. It's almost 10, and I'm in the same way. I'm not ready for this at all.
Okay.
The other one I read, I don't know why. no, but I mean, of all the books I didn't read, as I was looking through the list going, no, didn't read. I read Venom Space Knight number one.
He's your favorite.
I was intrigued.
Colin wanted to be a Space Knight.
In the same way I was intrigued when I read Space Punisher. Going, oh, what's this going to be? And then read it and went,
steaming pile of
what?
Crap.
What was that? Now this wasn't that.
Okay.
But it has a six word. Issue a miniseries butt. Written all over it. Basically, Venom went into space with the Guardians of the Galaxy, ended up on the home. This was during in the Guardians of the Galaxy storyline. This did a good job of telling you all this, which I did. I'll give it major credit for that. Found the home planet of the symbiote, and it calmed it. And it was just really agitated and angry.
Just stupid.
So Venom normally isn't, you know, I'm going to eat you. All the symbiotes, it's a happy place. So now the symbiote is a happier symbiote.
It doesn't seem to work.
And since he's out there, he is now a space knight. But he doesn't know exactly what that means. And then basically it's just...
It's still Flash Thompson.
It's still Flash Thompson, but it's still now, you know, and then wackiness ensued, and he was saving this spaceship, and there were these things on
wackiness
a spaceship.
Wackiness shouldn't ensue with Venom.
And then he has to stop the guy. They take the, I don't know if it's the blood of these aliens that makes weapons, so he goes to stop them and doesn't realize that the head of this gang that's doing this has a sonic weapon and knows exactly how to deal with his symbiote.
Of course he does.
And all these things. So it just, I mean, it was fun. There was nothing wrong with the issue, but it's certainly, I don't see this hitting issue 20.
Did they ever give that race, like, a name? Like
they did. There was a name. There was a name in there. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a bad book, but it was just one where you're just kind of reading it, just going, okay.
And
it's got that Ariel Coipel art, which is very... computery.
Is there not just Venoms, bad. Though, or are there, like, sick. Carnages?
No, no, it was just just a Venom. It was just a Venom.
But they're all Venoms on that planet?
You're not on that planet. It was just at some point in the past they had gone there.
Okay.
The last Guardian story, somebody told me that happened.
Okay.
Russ was telling me that. Okay. He said it was like they were, they had anxiety. That was the big problem.
Yeah.
So they fixed it. All better now.
Okay. So you just give it some Stratera, and then all of a sudden you can...
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Pretty well that.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I got.
Carnage now. He's just crazy.
Yeah, he needs a little more.
And toxin.
Nobody talks about
Anti-Venom.
Okay. I'm done. That's all I read.
Why
Sorry.
Is it all of a sudden that weekend. They feel like in Marvel books that they have to have some like comedy? Like they're all comedy writers. Like somewhere along the line,
it works
has
on
to
the
be
movies.
Like a laugh and it has to be wacky.
Works on the movies.
I guess so. Like that seems like, but they're not. They're not comedy.
No,
writers,
but it's
so
okay.
They're not funny. Yeah.
But no, that's okay though. Some books should.
Some people can do it.
Well, no. That's I mean, the there's nothing wrong with having a comedy book if it's done well.
Yeah.
But you also got to pick your... You got to
like
pick
Venom.
Your character.
Venom is not a character that can...
That's a wacky adventure of a serial killer.
That's not, well,
not
a lot
really
of it has
exactly
to do with that's not
comedy.
Why people are reading a Venom book.
Yeah. Right.
In a Deadpool book...
That's why he read it.
They're looking for it.
He wanted a good laugh.
And he wanted to be a space knight when he was a kid. That's what he...
Yep.
Oh, well.
Josh?
Alright, I'll go.
I'll have to leave.
Oh, you have to leave anyway.
Superman, Lois, and Clark. Any of you guys reading that?
No.
I read the first one. I liked it. I just didn't get to the second one yet.
Yes, this is good. It does a little bit of the flashback. Again, so you see whenever they, you know, like 10 years previous, whenever they moved into this house and they're fixing it up and renting it and trying to make a living. So Lois is writing... You know, for a local paper under a pen name to try and earn some money. And then flashing forward to when the kid's a little bit older and gets in trouble in school because he is distracted by, you know, something going on in the news. And, you know, Lois has to go and pick him up. And they're talking about why, you know, he has to kind of conform with the norms, why they can't just, you know, be whoever they, you know,
so
actually
he's Dash.
Are. Dash?
Yeah. The Incredibles?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it focuses a lot on them trying to still conceal their identity, even though Superman in this is still trying to help out, but not be, you know, discovered in the process. And there's one point where he helps out this, like, shuttle that was coming down, and helps it so it doesn't crash. And someone's investigating it, and they clearly know something's up with it. And it plays off like they're suspecting that he may exist. But what didn't make sense to me is that in this universe, you have other people
Superman.
Other than just Superman who could have done that. So why would it, you know, seem suspicious at all? I mean, because you have Shazam, you have Martian Manhunter,
right.
And there are other people that could have.
Does this book acknowledge Convergence in any way?
They exist here because of
right.
Convergence.
Okay,
yes.
So they acknowledge
yes.
the fact
yeah.
that event happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then as Lois and their son are driving, you know, home from his school, they get run off the road by this SUV, and I think it's because Clark was discovered, and he shows up to take care of the guys who are trying to capture them. But you find out they're actually after Lois because of a piece that she's writing on this organization. So it's a good read. I don't feel like they're trying to build up some, you know, threat level or intensity and that they might be discovered. And I don't see that there. Like, I don't see the actual threat, at least from Clark's perspective of him being discovered. Lois, yeah, because she's, you know, writing these stories, I guess maybe putting herself out there more than she should, but it's definitely a good story, and it's kind of a neat, you know, origin story for, you know, like a Superman origin story for their son as well.
Is it's a mini, right?
I don't
think
so.
Yeah, it's six issues.
Is it six issues?
Okay.
I thought it was ongoing.
No, that one, Telos and the Titans thing is all six issues.
That would be a
Titan time.
If it is, that would be a really
12,
good trade.
But yeah,
to read.
I thought
it's a short one.
Because I guess that would be, what's the kid's name?
I think Jonathan, right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not taking the last name Ken.
White.
No, they took
okay.
White. Yeah.
So they could add him as a character, the son, like later on, as like a Superboy or something. Like
probably, that. Yeah, because he's, I guess, 11 years old now, 10 years old.
It's neat that they brought that in, though.
He could be a Teen Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the post-Flashpoint, or pre-Flashpoint Superman.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's a good read. It's a good Superman story. I'd say it's probably the best Superman story going on right now.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I might take that back. I like American Alien a lot, the first issue, so.
That's a mini, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 8 issues, I think.
Which one?
American Alien. Alien.
Something like that. 7, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, that's, you're right. 7 number. Issues.
Yeah.
It is. The that's American why... Alien, it's the telling of the origin story of the New 52 Superman?
Yes. It's not necessarily a true... It's not a normal origin. It's not... Each issue focuses on a different key point in his life. So I guess, yeah, it's origin, but it's not like it's, you know... It's all taking place in one linear, you know.
Yeah.
Just story.
Telling some stories.
Or one consistent story.
Yeah. Okay. Some of these are things I'm waiting for trade. So I'm like, I bet a lot of them.
And I was, with American Alien, I was going to wait for trade on that, but the first issue got so many great reviews and people, and Colin was speaking highly of it, that I wanted to check it out. So.
Yeah. It was really good. Except for afterwards when you read the preview, you didn't speak highly of it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because you were cut your orders on that day.
Yeah. Too far. Sold out.
Yeah, the preview didn't sell it.
No, it wasn't the preview. It was the first issue. After reading the first issue, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't like the first issue? Oh, I thought you said you did.
Mm-mm. I didn't.
He was interested in it early on because you thought it looked nice.
Right. Right.
When you read it, you
no, after reading it, I didn't like the first issue, but I like.
The concept of it?
Yes. I like where it can go, but I didn't like the first issue of, oh, Superboy doesn't know how to fly. Look, he's just floating. Oh, let's do a whole issue on how he figures out how to get back to Earth.
Yeah.
Oh, see, yeah. I liked it.
See, I didn't like that
I
part liked of
the
it.
Smaller approach.
He just has to burp, to right?
It. Yeah. Exactly. That was all. I just, because a lot of it just felt like, do we need another retelling of Superboy? But then, when I thought about it a little bit more, I thought about where this could go. I like the part where, about the alien, him realizing I'm an alien. And
when they were watching the movie?
Yeah, and it had kind of the 1950s alien feel to it. So I did like that, but overall I wasn't a big fan, and I did cut my order.
It's like, Gort,
too far.
I know that guy.
Yeah, I cut it from 50 down to 30 and sold out. So, but I think I just sold out, so.
Gut instinct was wrong.
The gut, yeah, yeah, and that's why I was talking. Poor Dan, I was talking with Josh about that, about Dan, and I said the reason he might be struggling a little bit is he has no gut instinct to go with ordering some of these new number ones. And I mean, even I'm struggling. You know, like I was high on some. I sell out of Daredevil on day one.
How'd you do earlier on though in your business of having that?
I
gut
played
instinct?
It very low, so
yeah. So I can understand okay. that it kind of gets the, you kind of adjust as you yeah. go what you think.
Yeah,
by
but all
see.
These new number ones, it's hard. You know, how do you order yeah. Moon Girl?
No, and that's not a good time for him to be
yeah,
here because
I mean.
You
order more those. Of it than Dark Knight.
I did not. I did not.
That's what you're supposed to do.
No, I get you.
He's going to sell 115 mm-hmm. of Moon Girl.
Big time.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to sell 115 of all derpy the new derpy number derpy. Ones.
Derpy derp.
Ivar Time Walker. So this was the penultimate issue of the series. It, what?
He's
too big of a word?
I'm being silly. Yeah, I was like, ooh, penultimate. Ooh.
That means
that's
next
all,
to the last.
I know. That's what I just meant. Ooh, what a big word. That's all. That's all. I'm tired. It's
he
been
took
a long
Saturday.
Day.
This is a really cool issue. So right now, time is kind of messed up. There are no protections against changes to the timeline, and we're seeing things bleeding over into different timelines or different realities that shouldn't be there. And it starts off this really cool 2-page spread where it's showing Ivar and Neela and all of these possible realities or alternate realities involving them. And like some were just, you know, more like generic or just, you know, general settings. Others had like little Easter eggs in them. So in one reality, Ivar is He-Man riding on a variant of Battle Cat. Another one, he and Neela are, you know, Mad Max and Furiosa. There was a Star Wars one. There were like all these different like little Easter eggs if you look through them all. And some of them had dialogue. It was really cool how the artist, and I can't remember his name. I can't think of his name right now. How much detail he put into all these different, you know, little bubbles with the different realities. But so this issue is really tying a lot of things together, and it tied up or linked together the Neela who we've seen throughout the entire series as kind of his, you know, companion, and how she morphs into this, you know, futuristic variant of herself who kind of destroys the, you know, protections against altering the timelines. And it was really cool. This book has done a great job of dealing with time travel and tying things together and showing, you know, what things would work and time travel, what things wouldn't work. A lot of credit I have to give to the writer and the artist, just in how they're.
Fred Van Lent.
It's Fred Van Lent. It's Fred Van Lent, and I think it's Pierre something. I have it on Twitter because I sent them a tweet.
Clayton Henry.
No, not on the current ones.
Sorry.
It is. This is great for a podcast. This is really
Adam. Fill the dead air. Come on, man.
Pierre Perez.
Oh, there it is. Filled it.
Pierre Perez. So Fred Van Lent and Pierre Perez. But no, the story, like Fred Van Lent has done such a great job of. What was that?
Why'd your cash register start back up?
I don't know.
Of keeping all these threads together, and Pierre Perez has done a really fantastic job of illustrating all these varied timelines, and so each issue feels very different from the previous issue, which has been kind of cool. But it's a really good book. I would highly recommend picking this up in the trades whenever it's all said and done after issue 12. Flash? Anyway, story in
Flash?
Yeah,
I'm story in Flash.
So this is the issue where finally Zoom's henchmen have discovered,
kind of figured him out.
Yeah, what he's really up to. Not that he was really hiding it that well either. But they finally kind of turn on him and are assisting. They're assisting the Flash, I guess, but not really. They were almost more with Flash's dad than Flash himself. Because
Well, it wasn't so much that they were for Flash as they were against Zoom.
Yeah. But weren't they... Wasn't it Henry Allen that was with the one girl?
The one that could bend time. She couldn't bend time.
She could make
him
immortal.
Age. Yeah, she kept aging. Yeah, but then there was...
when they retreated, did they take him with them when Henry Allen with them? I remember Flash stayed behind because Flash was still fighting
Zoom.
No,
because that's how... They give away at the end that Flash and Barry Allen are the same person.
Yeah, Henry Allen discovered, or Zoom
tells
him. No, it was good. So the only thing... I wish the book wasn't doing a similar storyline to the show.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Because I feel like the show...
DC doesn't usually do that.
Yeah, and I feel like the show is handling Zoom so well.
Yeah,
that the book.
I think it's doing a better job.
The
handling,
book pales in
yeah.
comparison to it, and I think it hurts the book when you have that direct comparison. I mean, I like these, you know, this gallery that they've established, you know, with these people that were Zoom. I'm interested to see where they go. It's just I wish they were telling a different story. That's all.
I kind of like to see him get into some more traditional Flash villains too. I'd like to see, you know, get Mirror Master back in there in the top. And
supposedly, I think the next arc deals more with the Rogues.
The Rogues, okay.
I'm not too familiar with that character of Zoom and Reverse Flash. Now, are they always like two separate characters? Is he one of those characters
Hunter
that they sometimes combine?
Hunter Solomon was Zoom, and that was a Wally West villain.
So it was more Wally West era.
Yeah, I think. Okay. I think it was Bogus. And then Reverse Flash is the Eobard Thawne.
He was the one that was always jealous of Barry Allen.
Right. And that was, I think, the best version that I've seen of his origin was actually in the Road to Flashpoint.
Yeah,
they did a whole issue. It was just him.
That's why I never understood who Zoom was, because I always assumed they were both the same person, just different
names. Yeah, because I think funny, because of that
Silver Age and everything.
In the show, Thawne was Reverse Flash. In the book, Thawne is Zoom.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just...
Which, yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's semantics.
There are too many evil speedsters.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and that's just it. It was, you know, Barry Allen was unique, and then now everybody somehow has a Speed Force. So yeah. It's kind of...
Well, it's like if you want a powerful villain to go up against him, he has to be able to really go up against them, and he has to be fast, I guess, in that.
No, case. Because, like, they had the one Block, who she could just... All momentum just stops around her.
I guess that would do it.
So, yeah, that's... You know, a true challenge
when
for Barry.
When she does that, how would she fight him after that? Just
she doesn't anything? Have to.
He just
if he like hits it. Her, he you know he shatters his hand or whatever.
I get you, yeah.
And then she can move in or one of the other
that's
people can move in.
Yeah.
I remember when I was reading it earlier on, he like ran into some guy inside the Speed Force that was like a pilot or something that was stuck there, and didn't he become the antagonist after a while?
Yeah, that was Zoom.
Oh, okay, that one was Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of stopped right there, but yeah. That was a good book.
The pilot? That guy was Zoom?
Because he's the one that turns on him. Yeah, that was Zoom.
No, he turned on him. That wasn't Zoom, because he's there in the current reality along with Zoom as well.
Got to go back on
it. Yeah, now I got to go back on it, because I thought he was... Because they do the ceremony
at
the temple,
like,
and then he gets the Speed Force, and that's how... Because Zoom didn't have the Speed Force.
Yeah, but in this issue, he's the guy that's like in that wheelchair kind of thing, that like robotic wheelchair.
Okay.
Huh.
I'll grab it after this.
Yeah,
I kind of jumped off Flash. My reason for that was after Flashpoint, I didn't know what they were doing with it. Like, I didn't know if there was going to be any continuity change. Like, it seemed like they were setting back up the road.
Flashpoint, they had to do a continuity change. That was the one. Yeah, that's the one character you can't say wasn't affected by it.
Yeah, I get you. Really can't.
Yeah,
it just
but that
like,
character at the end of Flashpoint still remembered everything.
Right, he remembered both timelines.
Unless it was like some sort of somebody told me before that could have been like a temporary thing.
Wasn't that way?
Yeah,
it was a complete reboot for him.
Yeah, it was kind of. I didn't really get it after Flashpoint.
Yeah, well, I mean, when DCU started, they changed everybody, you know, and kind of they made a new status quo, and that's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
I don't mind it necessarily, but I agree it parallels the TV show a little
Flash
too much.
Flash has been affected the least, I think, from the new status quo. He hasn't had a huge change.
That's true. Yeah, everybody else has had like a really drastic.
But yeah,
change.
It is what you were doing. They were doing a different story. That's all. The only other one I'll mention real quick is Omega Men. So this was a pretty intense issue. All the Omega Men most Omega Men were captured and being interrogated by this Viceroy. And
Trade Federation.
And one by one, he's going to each of them. They're chained up and trying to get them to divulge information as to why they're working. And you find out different ties.
Make them watch The Phantom Menace.
You find out different ties that each one of them had to him and this organization that... essentially like oversees all these planets and how they kind of were brought together. And you see the princess's role and really how she formed this team. The Viceroy is untrusting of Kyle Rayner, so he removes the bomb from his neck to see if he's really telling the truth, and then says it's not a bomb, it was a location device. There's another twist where it might have been a bomb, and it was a really, again, this book, the biggest credit I can give this book is that if every issue feels so cinematic, and whenever they have intense scenes, it actually, as you're reading, it feels very intense. And it feels like the stakes are raised. And they've killed characters in it. You know, one of the Omega Men has been killed already, so you know that these threats, aside from Kyle Rayner, I think anyone is up for being eliminated. Huh. But it's been a really great read. The story has been really interesting, and I'm they have six issues left. I'm really looking forward to where it goes as a full its full run. But it's
is it
good.
Taking a break and then coming back? Like
I don't
Prez
know. I think it. No, it's not taking a break like that. It's going straight through the 12. I think it would benefit it if they did have a trade come out before the next six start, but I don't think it's going to happen.
That's DC, so it'll be a year.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate because I think this first trade will read very well. But Dave?
Black Magic, number 2. Anybody read that?
Read the first one. I just haven't gotten to the second one.
Same here. Okay. This is, it's been really good. This issue follows up on the hostage situation at the fast food restaurant. And Detective Rowan Black, who's a witch, is called into internal affairs because it's a officer-involved death. So she gets the good cop, bad cop treatment to see if there's anything going on, see what happened. And she gets through that, and then she goes to the Siwa Cafe and talks with Alex, who is another witch in the coven. And the guy at the fast food restaurant who took the hostages, he's some kind of witch hunter or something, and something is coming back to hunt down these witches, it looks like. And at the end, they find a dead body that was in the river. And they think the guy who did it, his name is Rowan White.
Okay.
Selkirk, right?
And so there are all these different threads going through and see how they tie together. So it's been really, it's a black and white book too, which works for
right,
it.
Right, but like not spot color, there's, but yeah, the first one it was like only color when there was magic or something.
Yeah, I think there's only like a little red or something in this to denote that, but it's a cool mix of witches, witchcraft, and it's a police procedural.
Right.
Which we've never, I don't think that's ever been done before.
No, where the cop is a witch.
So it's by Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott, so it's been a good book. How about Darth Vader, number 13?
Yeah. Now, see, I'm not reading Vader down, or I'm not reading the other parts. I'm just straight reading.
That's gonna be tough.
I agree, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
But I didn't like Star Wars when I read it, so I'm not gonna buy it. And even the stuff that was Star Wars in the Darth Vader book, I didn't like. I thought the art on Leia especially was horrible.
Yeah. Which one did you think was horrible? What book?
In Darth Vader.
Oh, okay.
Not everything, but I thought Leia was drawn really horribly. There's a couple. She almost looks waxy.
Okay.
And then there was a couple pictures of Han that I thought were just really odd.
He hasn't been used to drawing those characters either. He's a little more like, I get what you're saying when you say waxy, because they do seem very real looking, how he draws things, but it's so much real, but it's still art.
Well, no,
you know
but
what I mean, it just doesn't totally look real because it still looks like it's drawn.
But you have Aphra in the book, Dr. Aphra, and she looks correct. She looks right. I mean, like it looks okay. And then Leia doesn't look. Not only does she not look anything like Carrie Fisher, she doesn't look human. She looks like a wax figure,
almost like a wax museum. Yeah. More. Which I guess with what's her name, with Dr. Aphra,
mm-hmm.
she isn't a real person. So I think his art works better for that, because then you don't see her as how you're seeing her.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, yeah, that's part of it, because like I always picture Carrie Fisher.
And how he's drawing it, he's trying to draw her as so realistic as possible that almost comes off as a wax statue.
Right, okay. But I didn't think it was as bad with Luke, and I didn't think it was as bad with Han. Okay. It was more her, like he just couldn't draw the character. Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, I thought it was clever at the end using 00 as a
thing. Yeah. No, I was like, I should have thought that a scene like that was coming of 00 impersonating 3PO.
Yeah, although it took a little bit longer for R2 to realize it. Yeah. Like, I thought he would have known right away.
And, I like how he's, like, shaking back and forth with his beeping. Like, they show that little movement.
Yeah, that's a showdown I want to see.
Better issue, I thought, out of this than the first issue. I thought this was just better. I like the writer better on this.
Killian?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just like him better. I like him better on this, and then
who wrote the Vader down? Was Jason Aaron.
Yeah, okay. And I just haven't liked Jason Aaron on a Star Wars book.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just there's certain issues that I'll read. And I'll be like, this was good. Like, I got it. Yeah, and there's certain fanboy stuff that in there, fan fictiony fanboy stuff that you look at and you're like, okay, you know, seeing a bunch of all of them getting lightsabers in that last issue and fighting, I was like, that's cool, you know, some things you can't, but then some you're just like, I get it, you know, you said Womp Rat, you know.
Gillen's been really good on the book.
Yeah, I think just better writing a new story.
Did you buy the fact that Leia wanted to, like, go after Vader and kind of wasn't that
versus Luke?
And wasn't that interested in Luke?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
She has always been the good of the many versus the few type of mentality.
I agree.
I didn't seem to think that seemed off at all how she was treating that.
No, I mean because the only real comparison you have is the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, but it wasn't a situation where they were afraid Vader was going to get away, so she said, you know, send the assets to go do it. It was, you know.
I think if she knew he was her brother, I think that would have been a different. You don't think?
No, because remember, this takes place right after Star Wars, and her whole thing is he was responsible for what happened to Alderaan. He wasn't, but he was there.
Just for revenge, she would have went over that.
I wouldn't say revenge. I would say for justice. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I can see that more in her character.
But you didn't read Vader Down.
No, I didn't, and I won't.
You read Vader Down, though.
Yeah.
Did you like this better?
I like this better, yeah.
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 I think there was just a lot more, I think
Gillen does a better job with the characters. Yeah. I mean, on a consistent basis.
It's interesting that Pat said something about art, because I've heard a lot of backlash on it. Not backlash, but a little bit of, I don't know how I feel about the art on it. It just doesn't work.
But the characters that are
normally in Darth Vader were fine. It was the ones that were not normally in there that were the problem. It probably is one that's going to be hard for me to maintain, because it's in the middle of Vader Down.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying 5 books I'm not going to enjoy to read the 2 I will.
Yeah.
You know, if...
Once you get the issues that you're getting.
Look, I bought into that just, you know, a few weeks ago with Secret... Well, months ago now with Secret Wars. I'm not doing it again. Sorry, Marvel. Give me a reason to buy the book or I'm not going to buy the book.
Yeah.
You get enough of my money. But this issue itself was fine. I thought it was pretty cool. Where he pulled the pins on the grenades using the Force.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know why they haven't done something like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the issue.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on then. Black Hood number 7. I am the only one who read that, but this issue was really good. I liked it.
Bad for Dave. He's just like, I'm the only one. It's okay.
But
all by
myself. There's a little tear coming down my eye right now.
Just gonna read all by myself. He's singing. I want to hear the rest of it.
You want to hear more singing rather than my review?
I'm done.
Okay.
Good.
Black Hood number 7. Black Hood, Greg Henninger. He's back in Philadelphia after last issue. He was in Los Angeles with a help group, and last issue wasn't too good. But the series gets back on track in this issue because he goes back to Philadelphia. Gets back on the police force. He's still seeing his speech therapist. And he's kind of quit his pills, his pill problem.
Go ahead.
But kind of quit his pill, but he can't quit being the Hood. And there's some good scenes with him putting on the black hood, and he's like, what the heck is wrong with me? Why am I still doing this? There's kind of some cool stuff in there. And there's guys going around Philadelphia grabbing, tasering people and putting them into white vans.
Oh, so it's
Nickel Rides. Yeah.
And they're calling themselves the Crusaders, and they want to save people.
That's not funny.
Quote, unquote.
That's actually the nickname of my old high school. So really? Great. So now you're just pointing to me.
No, I'm just not. Well, no,
the Mighty
at
Crusaders
I'm
were
just
an
doing...
old...
Okay. Well, he didn't call them the Mighty Crusaders.
Oh,
he just
yeah,
called them the Crusaders.
Yeah.
I understand.
You're saying you guys weren't mighty?
I'm saying they rarely kidnap someone and put them in a van. Only
sorry.
Just initiation.
Didn't know about that at all. Wow.
Yeah, Father Judge High School.
Okay.
The Crusaders.
Well, this is a horrible book.
Damn.
No. I don't know where to go from then. Sorry.
This got awkward.
Before, yeah. Which, okay. What other book did you read?
Okay, let's move to the next one.
Pat didn't like that one, apparently.
Pat didn't read that one.
That's a buzzkill.
It doesn't matter what. At least I like Stan Lee.
Oh, liar. Let's go to Archie.
Oh,
let's
go to Archie.
Let's go to Archie number four.
The lipstick incident.
The lipstick incident revealed.
It was pretty intense.
We find out what the lipstick incident was, which was spoilers.
I love the setup, Dave.
Was it built up?
Yeah. Are you interrupting,
thank you, Josh.
Dave?
No, it's getting built up like drums.
The drum roll.
Creative.
Archie and Betty are dating, and some girls befriend Betty, and they take her out.
Lipstick incident.
They take her out to get her nails done and her hair and all that girly stuff. And they go out, she goes on a date with Archie. And Archie is like really doesn't know what to make of her because she has really changed. She's not the old Betty. So they go to see a movie and they walk out. And Betty takes out her lipstick and flings it across Archie's face. Breaks the lipstick, all this lipstick across Archie's lips, and they break up.
The lipstick incident.
The lipstick incident.
Hashtag. Still expecting.
Because he didn't like her all dolled up.
It just wasn't her,
and
he
wasn't
knew
her,
and she knew it.
Yeah.
And it was really the two girls that she was with that were really the problem.
Yeah.
Because he overheard them talking bad on her, and he told her, like, you shouldn't do that. Like, you know, he likes her. Leave her alone. And they were just like, oh, we got to fix this. So they were like, let's give her a makeover, because that's exactly what she wanted to look. She didn't want to look like Betty anymore, is basically what they were saying. They changed her name to Lizzie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was just a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, they asked her, what's Betty short for, Elizabeth?
Which I thought was kind of dumb because it's just like, what's Betty?
But I thought it was very natural. I really liked it of the whole
it was how it
proceeded. And so at the end, that was kind of a flashback. So at the end, Betty and Jughead are trying to come up with a scheme for Veronica to thwart Veronica's advances on Archie. And so who do they go to help for?
Those two girls.
No.
Reggie Mantle.
Oh.
Jughead's not, he's not too crazy about the idea.
Jughead doesn't like Reggie. I don't think Betty really is that fond of Reggie either.
No,
I don't know why they really need him, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so he's sitting on the countertop there in the kitchen. So I really liked the issue. I thought it was probably the best one so far.
Yeah. No, it was. It was good.
And
which they have, they've been hashtagging that all over that book. Put in a hashtag lipstick incident, which it was just like, it was going to catch on.
And last one I'll mention is Justice League 2001.
Yeah, I read that.
Number 5, I think.
Yeah, the ending of that was not what I expected.
I know, that was pretty crazy, wasn't it?
There were these robots called the Scallions, and at first you just see 1 and 2, and Dave joked about this before the podcast, they were like the old groundhogs from the Warner Brothers.
Yeah, person. Adam brought up the groundhogs.
Very
exactly
polite.
Like them.
Yeah.
You know, exactly like that play.
You know, the banter back and forth. But they're there to kill...
Which is basically like 2 C-3PO's.
Yeah.
Like back and forth.
Yeah.
What they say this girl was is like great-great-great-great-granddaughter
great
or something.
Yeah, granddaughter of...
Of Bruce Wayne. Who she plays like she's Batman and then has a friend who pretends she's Harley.
And they meet like every week to have a fight or something
yeah.
at the same time.
And so the Scallions show up and kill Harley.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting to like her.
And then at the end, spoilers, they apparently blow Clark's head off. It's like this. It's yeah. not like regular blood, though. It's like a weird black ooze that
yeah.
gets all over everything.
Yeah.
But and granted, it doesn't mean he's necessarily dead. But it certainly appears like they blew his head off. Well, can they?
I guess not, because they're not part of.
Yeah, Cadmus they're not part anymore. Of Cadmus anymore. Yeah. So it was. Probably the most intense issue they've done
yeah.
of this.
Yeah, yeah. But it was funny, too. I thought it was really funny. Especially
yeah.
the part where Ronald, the robot, and Superman, they're arguing over what sound the distress signal's making. Either beep,
is it
beep,
meep, meep, or beep, beep?
Beep,
yeah.
beep, or meep, meep.
It's like, it doesn't really matter. He's like, actually, it matters quite
yeah.
a bit.
Yeah, so... Stuff like that, that got a kick out of it. So it was funny. Yeah, and intense at the end there, like Pat said. That was great.
Yeah, I mean, this has typically been just a funny book, and like that's the first time we've seen something that actually is dangerous. Even when they had the girl that could turn them inside out, and she killed Barry, that was played more for laughs, where this really
yeah,
wasn't.
Yeah. yeah, I can't wait to see what happens in the next issue now. Jeez.
So.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay. JLA number 5.
Okay, I'm intrigued. I did not read it, but that's the fill-in issue.
Yeah, and...
It read like it.
Yeah, exactly. It really did. It was a Martian Manhunter issue.
Who hasn't been in that book at all?
No. It was very out of place.
Although I wouldn't mind seeing him in the Justice League, because he hasn't been in the Justice League in all of...
All New 52.
All New 52.
Was it...
So.
But what I was reading from it, it seemed like it was that story that they were kept wanting to tell where they said he was on the Justice League at some point, but then there was a problem, and then they had to get rid of him. Was that what it was supposed to be?
Well, that's he was clearly on the Justice League at some point, like, and they were having something,
yeah.
you know, they were...
Well, you remember
I don't want to say, like, they were having a party, but they were almost having, like, a party, and, you
yeah.
know, Hal offered him food, and,
they
you know...
just like, I don't need food.
Yeah, and, you know, he was very moody and standoffish with the whole group.
Yeah.
So I have 2 problems. One, you know, you were in the middle of the Rao story, and I get things happen, but this just felt so out of place. I would have rather they just not... Yeah, just... skip a month or skip a couple weeks and then, you know, get you back into the Rao story. And 2, because we haven't had Martian Manhunter in there was no setup for this. It didn't make a lot of sense.
Should have done like a JLA special or something like that.
No, I just would have held this and you know, had Hitch finish his story, have this, and then transition into the next
yeah.
arc. That would have made more sense.
You remember the, what story I was talking about, though, like when the original Justice League of America from New 52 started?
Yeah.
He kept talking about, like, he was
something
on
happened.
It,
and
something happened.
Yeah.
I just, yeah, I was kind of reading it as that, but it didn't seem like it.
No. And.
Which I don't think they're ever going to go back to that.
It was, it didn't, it wasn't a direct tie into the Martian Manhunter series, but tonally it felt like it should have been. Like, it should have been, if not a, almost like a prequel to the Martian Manhunter series, like, before he finds out he's a weapon.
Yeah.
That's almost where it felt like it should have been in continuity, which I get continuity, it doesn't matter, but just the way the book was written,
it
seemed like it. That's where it should have been.
It should in that case.
It was okay, but it was just okay. I would have preferred to get the Ral story, but, you know, that, that's
fine.
Was
he delayed? He's delayed on that?
Yeah, well, he's writing it and drawing it, so...
We were promised the first arc was in the can, so...
Yeah, but that might have been the trash can. He wasn't specific which can.
Yeah, he didn't really say what can.
So, I'll continue to read JLA. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm interested in this Ral storyline. It just would have been helpful to have it there. Batman and Robin Eternal.
I read it.
Yeah, I read it.
It's good.
Yep.
Much more
you guys have been saying
previous.
This is real.
Yeah.
This has overall been good.
Yeah, there's only
I feel
been
bad. I'm behind and now I'm so far behind, I don't know.
There's only been that one issue with the Tim Drake, when they were fighting in Drake's parents' house, I really felt like it was
weird.
Filler.
Yeah.
Although I would say a lot of this issue, while it was good, was repetitive of the last issue where they were fighting in the ballet.
Yeah, but it fleshed it out a bit more.
It did.
I really love the scene with Dick and Mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just really...
But that's the first time we've really seen Mother as well, right? Or at least
they've
really done something.
Yeah. But, there's the flashbacks to where Bruce had met her years before. It's kind of been insinuated that instead of getting a wife from Mother, all the Robins basically came from her.
Except for Dick.
Yeah, except for Dick.
Because she's trying to imply that Dick wasn't good enough and that's why he was...
Yeah, he was. That's why he searched out other ones.
I just want to see where how they tie this all together. Like,
yeah,
how,
that's kind
how
of where
is it? Like, how were all of them? Where how did were they? Like, you, well, we go back to this episode of Justice League a lot, where he creates the clone that's Terry McGinnis.
Yeah,
and he had or somebody does. It's Waller.
Yeah,
and
made a Waller.
And it reminds me a lot of that, where he's trying to make an error, but they have to conveniently place them into a situation where they're going to meet up at some point, and they're going to want to become a vigilante of some sort. It just... that's where I want to see it all tied together.
What's that? And their parents are killed.
Well, and that's just it. This has a more difficult time doing that because... I'm not saying it's New 52 continuity, but it kind of is, to where you don't really have that time period where all these events could have taken place.
It seemed easy enough for them to make Damian.
Well, yeah.
Like he didn't have a problem. Obviously, having such a problem making an error before.
Yeah. but the other thing is that doesn't seem to really fit in with what Bruce... Because even if you go back to the Justice League thing, Bruce wasn't in the know about Terry McGinnis. He figured it out, but it wasn't like he was involved.
Yeah.
So for him to be involved in this, especially the part about having other kids' parents killed, that... If that was what happened, it seems completely out of character.
Yeah, that would seem very out of character. Not for Amanda Waller.
But for Bruce, that's...
Completely out of character. I mean, for Bruce, he could have seen that as, like, what's done is done. But when he figured out that his dad was dead already, and you know, that tragedy was okay. But with this, it's very out of character. So that's what I want to see. I want to see how this all just... comes to be, and
they've done a great job with the slow burn in this mystery and really teasing a few things. And I feel like there's a lot of misdirection going on, especially when we see the snippets from the past where, you know, I think they're really trying to play up that Dick like screwed up a lot.
Yeah.
To throw you off. But
Well, and I don't even think it's that he screwed up, but in his mind he can't It's the inferiority complex that I can never meet Batman's expectations.
Which even plays it into the conversation he has with Mother, which really does a good job of showing just who Dick Grayson is and what his priorities are and why he's so much different and in some ways better than Bruce.
Yeah. This would play so much better if Dick took the mantle of Batman.
Oh, stop beating that drum.
No, it would.
He's been there and done that.
Yeah. And it was good. Yeah, so if you're not going to have Bruce Wayne do it, but if you're not going to have Bruce do it, have him do it.
Do something different. We've already had it.
Yeah. That's why I'm not too fond, really, of the Jim Gordon thing, because I was just like, we've had this where he's dead and he's replaced by somebody.
Well, that part, but I mean,
but yeah, with Dick,
Jim Gordon being Batman is a very different take on Batman.
It's a different take, not with Dick. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, this is good. This has been really good. I'm actually surprised it is good, because I thought when they first announced it, I was like, well, they're just trying to ride
cash in on the
end. Yeah, but it's been
a really solid story. Very focused, I think the run, the 25th
and on time every week.
Size.
And I haven't read Robin War, but I don't think Robin War has anything to do with this story as well.
No, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like that's running through the.
Yeah. Bought it this afternoon. Why didn't you go home and read it?
I didn't. A lot of somebody mentioned that today while we were in here, while I was in here this afternoon. They said, I've just been thinking of it as being a real big Batman year, but it really, there's a big Robin year as well. Like,
it's
more
a
Robin that you've really...
It's a 75th anniversary.
Yeah.
Robin. Yeah.
And it's just nice that they're doing all that.
I know you can't plan when comics come out, but coincidence.
It's a coincidence. Yeah.
All this Robin
all
stuff.
Robin War, We Are Robin, Robin Son of Batman.
Yeah.
Did anybody read Robin Son of Batman?
No.
I will read it for the tie-in, but...
Okay. The only thing that I thought was significant about this is it showed the origin of Goliath.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Which was pretty cool. And then at the end, he comes to terms, basically. He's forgiven by the girl that he's with, Nobody.
Yeah, Nobody.
Her point is forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. You now have the ability to make up for killing my father, but I'm not going to forget that this happened. And he kind of passed that on to Talia and basically told her the same thing. But he gave Goliath to Nobody, and then he's going off to Gotham now. They mentioned that Batman's dead, and Damian's like, no, he isn't. Like, it can't be. And there's also a joke in there about, I've been dead, now I'm back. My mom was dead, now she's back. That's really a gray area at this point.
I like how he's a comic book character that's just like, and nobody dies in comic books. Like, he's just straight up. He'll be back.
Yeah, death's okay. Just kind of a gray area, so it'll be all right.
We'll figure out a way.
Professor X is still dead.
Yeah. That's because no one Doc Browned him yet. Gave him a letter.
They'll go back in time.
They rebooted the entire universe, and he still didn't come back.
They'll go back in time, even though they're not supposed to, and fix it.
Professor X is alive. He's in the Old West.
He's with Red Wolf.
Oh, then because there, it's going to tie in. Yeah. Watch him do that. No. Watch him do that. You'll be like, I was kidding.
I want a nickel for every.
Yeah.
And the last one that I'll mention is We Are Robin.
I like this issue.
I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it did a good job of kind of setting everything up. Except for the Talon stuff, though.
That Talon was a badass.
Is he the one, was it from the Talon book that was like the big one that they resurrected?
I think he is.
I didn't read
that book, but man, that Talon looked awesome.
Yeah, one that's just
I want
monster.
That action figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
I'm
supposed to be.
I'm gonna have to go back and see if there was like a name given or something.
He has that weird. It's almost like the Dothraki blade where it's curved, but it's
like
serrated.
And it has like the owl's head on it. Man, it looks awesome, and the chains and.
I think what was interesting about this issue that should be noted is that a lot of they're kind of filtering out Robins, and you're starting to see which one is more Robin-like. And it's going to end up being Duke.
But you see these characters like the one who picks up the guns. And it's just like, he obviously cannot handle this.
Right now, like, the two that seem most Robin, like Duke and that Riku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only, but the guy who even, like, crashed the bike.
He was very,
but then the other one, not at all.
That was the kid whose dad was the mafia guy that got killed, yeah.
And then this Talon is wanting to basically, it looks like he's trying to recruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of them, I have a feeling, is going to go... And I have a feeling that they're trying to make you
think it's
going to
be the one with the gun.
Yeah. I think they're trying to make you think it's going to be the one that's with the mob ties, but he's obviously not.
No, that's why it's not.
Yeah. They're throwing him out there to make it seem like it, but he's not. Yeah, I think it'll be the one with the guns. And he did mention, he's like, oh, this one knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
You know, where did the guns come from?
I think they just picked them up off the ground.
They were just in Gotham. Go around. Oh, there we go.
It's Gotham. It's Philly.
Yeah.
It's Gotham.
Robots aren't involved there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, what about you, Adam?
I know Rich is going to talk about one when he gets back. But did you read Chewbacca?
I read Chewbacca.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like this issue of Chewbacca. I really did. And this is the penultimate issue. We're going to use that again. Of Chewbacca.
That means next to last, Colin.
Yeah, Colin. In case you
didn't know. In case you forgot.
There's something else in that. In case you forgot, because you're getting up there and they forget things easily. Yeah.
He's sitting on a shelf right now.
A lot happened in that issue. A lot of action happened in that issue, and I really liked it. I really like the art. And
I've really liked the art. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not gonna win here. As I said. So Red Wolf.
You won it alone.
A lot of stuff happened in this issue. They had like this trap set up where they were going to go after this guy. His name. The toxic guy. I think it's like Jaum or something like that.
Yeah, Jaum.
Jaum.
J-A-U-M.
Yeah. And he was basically... They were going after him with some trap that they had set up. And they were in, you know, dressing up. And they had Chewbacca dressed as like a battle droid of some sort. Yeah, and he looked like... It was just way too big.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, this hunk of junk. What does he want him for? And...
And then he just
burst, a lot of fun
burst
stuff.
Out of it.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff happened in this issue, and going after him and fighting some of his friends, and that with like the engine scene where he's just the guy stood in the wrong place. Chewbacca turns on the engine, he just bursts into flames.
Yeah,
Chewbacca is kind of a badass. So.
Oh yeah, he's the mighty Chewbacca. Yeah. Kiss yourself.
He's got that crossbow, and
but
he's just...
The Wookiee physiology.
Wookiee physiology.
It's a bowcaster.
Oh, a bowcaster. I apologize.
They're kind of a down note at the end. They're captured by the Empire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so now they're going up there, which seems just like almost like a Trojan horse. You're just letting them into your lair and Chewbacca's going to trash the place.
Yeah.
That's what I assume the next issue is going to be. I've really liked in this book. I really like the art.
Yeah, it's full Noto art. Yeah, it's been really good. He's really captive.
I think they handled the book very well. I think not just having it as just a Chewbacca book where he's just, you know, making Chewbacca noises throughout the whole thing, but having the girl and having her story be the main story, because just like a lot of us have been saying about, like, why, like what I was saying about Darth Vader, why Darth Vader is better to write, because we didn't see what was going on with Darth Vader. Everybody else we did. Well, with Chewbacca, they tell this Chewbacca story, which we didn't know of, but not only that, it's not really about Chewbacca, it's about the girl.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's been good. I've really liked it. That was kind of a surprise, because I didn't know how well this book was.
Yeah.
I was going to accept it as well, but it is. It's a good book to read. It'll be good in trade as well.
Yeah, it's a tough...
Yeah,
you know, not to crack with the Chewbacca story, but they're doing a good job with it, huh?
Yeah. So it was good. And then, here, I'll bring this back.
Fight Club.
Oh, yes.
Did you get to read Fight Club?
Yep, I sure did.
Basically, what I took, this was a tough one.
Yeah.
There a lot happened in this book. It shows you a little bit of what happened to Sebastian's, like, his past a little bit. And when he first meets
his basically other part, other side.
Yeah.
There. And it's also showing you a little more about the kid, about his son. And you, I guess in this, was there any issue where they really showed that he was alive still? I guess a couple issues back they did.
Yeah, I think one or two ago they did, yeah. But I can't remember which one.
And,
but I'm
and
sure.
By what I'm taking about it, he basically has Tyler and him as well, right?
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. I mean, that's what the, you know, the doctor that's, that Sebastian is working sort of with and Tyler is working against.
Tyler's on the phone. Like, yeah. I like how he's talking to him on the phone.
Yeah.
He's just like, okay.
Yeah, but I think...
The doctor's like, oh, is that him? Like, yeah, of course that's him. Who did you think it was?
But I thought he basically implied that, like, you know, like, Tyler could be, like, I mean, it's genetics the wrong word, but like an inherited trait almost, you know, kind of thing.
But I think they even
son.
Said maybe his father had that as well.
And, yeah.
And he kind of uses him as a vessel in order to be planted into the next. It's it's very different. I've really liked this book, but I think it'll read better all at once.
Probably because it's hard to remember what's going
there's
on.
There's a
and
lot
even
between
then,
issues,
so much,
and then you're just like, what happened in that last issue? I mean, it's hard enough to figure that out on your own about the issue you just read, let alone wait a month and be like, what happened in the last one so I remember what's going on now? It would read a lot better in trade.
Yeah.
A lot better in trade.
Yeah, and even the ones where, like, it didn't seem to be quite as much of an issue in this one, but there's a lot of them where... It almost seems like, you know, Tyler and Sebastian aren't the same person, you know, kind of thing, just because of what's going on. But they are, you know, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
So.
It just, it's not a bad book at all. And I was wondering if it would just be like, you know, when you pick up a book like that, and it's based on a movie or a book. But being that it's the same author and everything, I think it's just... It's been different. Also, they showed, what's his name? Meatloaf played him.
Robert Paulson.
Robert Paulson comes out, and he was just, that whole scene where he's just, they call for him. They're like, nobody calls for him. And then when they're just like, yeah, pick it up, you big dummy. And he throws the box, the crate on top of that guy, totally kills the guy. Yeah.
Which is supposedly contains like nuclear warhead material.
Yeah, and it says nuclear.
You know,
and then he falls onto the
nuclear.
The couch. That supposedly has like hepatitis and
needles,
everything on it. So it's just like,
yeah. Yeah, I like that he's wearing the big like hug me T-shirt, you know, or something like that, or give me a big hug, you know, or something.
He's
like
the
that.
Incredible Hulk in this.
Yeah,
and then he has his head just smashed in on one side. So no, it's good. Really worth picking that up. I just trade. I'd rather. You know, read it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm committed on the issues. So,
yeah. But, right now, I am, but it would have been one to read better in trade. So, but that's it.
All right.
Rich.
Well, if anybody's still with us,
we hit the 2.5 hour mark.
Let's see.
It's because that's Stan Lee stuff.
I know. You just went on and on and
you
on.
Me back
jeez.
You baited me.
Well, I'm just going to, a couple of ones I read. We discussed Fight Club and then the others. The main one I'll talk about was Invisible Republic number 7, which I think I've talked about this one probably more than anybody cares to hear about. But
it's most of what we talk about.
Yeah, well, it's one that I really like for some reason. So the last issue kind of ended where this reporter and his friends have found Maya, who's the cousin of this former dictator on this, other world, and they come under attack by some military/police type force kind of thing. So,
got your dicks.
So this one picks up with the attack in progress, and Maya and her crew seem to be pretty well prepared for it, so they're actually able to repel the attack, which it turns out was. Sent in by this woman who's arriving on the planet that gives the word to do the attack in the last issue. And her name, she's like a Nika, I believe is the name they give to her. And so in the flashbacks, so that's most of all the current action is kind of centered around the raid and them stopping the raid. And then in the flashbacks in this one, Nika is actually the girl who was sort of, I guess, a girlfriend of her cousin, Arthur, who's the one that went on to become the dictator, So they're all sort of holed up in this building, all these revolutionaries, and then they kind of go out and they do their actions and then come back to the central sort of post where they're all living. And so this Nika at one point asks for Maya to come with her, and she's kind of leery because she thinks ever since she discovered that her and her cousin were liaising, I guess, or hanging out together in a part of the building that's a little more bourgeoisy looking than the revolutionaries are living in, I guess, for lack of a better term. So they go out, and like this Nika takes her to like this underground sort of black market where the elites basically get first dibs on all the stuff coming in, you know. So she's this revolutionary supposedly, but she kind of likes living the good life sort of thing.
Am I the only one that read Animal Farm?
Yeah, it's definitely along those lines. So so she's not sure exactly what to make of this Nika and her relationship, but they go out with a guy. One of the guys goes with them. And at one point, he's talking to Maya by himself, and he's like, yeah, if I was you, I would just leave and, like, never come back. And he, like, takes off. So when they get back, her cousin is kind of concerned about this guy not being around because his disappearance, if people figure out he was one of the revolutionaries, that could compromise the whole operation, obviously. So he kind of disappears at one point and goes looking for him. And at the end, he basically comes back with sort of this club that he uses and carries around. And it's like extra shiny clean. So Maya thinks he might have found this guy and took care of him, kind of. And that's basically where it leaves off. But I just think it's like kind of an interesting story how they're kind of going back and forth. And I'm also a little bit weird because I actually read a lot of the stuff in the back of the books, you know, sort of letters and stuff. So they always have a few letters, and then but they actually had something by the like from the artist, and it was like they just put things like they talked about I guess they went to a comic convention in Malta, which sounds cool because it's in some like old like knight's fortress castle, you know, or something like that. So they might have just been rubbing it in that they got to go to Malta and hang out. But like it showed like a couple of pictures of things they'd taken there, like a fortress, a fountain rather, and like this sort of like a bridge going into like the fortress, and just how like they're creating this world that necessarily can't exist, but as long as you like kind of feel like it can, you just get over the whether or not it actually does exist, you know, kind of, and how like they put some of those touches like this fountain basically in one of the scenes, and like this bridge is like, you know, sort of, you know, there's another scene
the
where there's kind of
a little reality.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool to see how they talk about that, you know, and use, you know, their own real world experiences, so it just gives you a little bit of insight into how interested they are in, you know, creating something that's, you know, believable and interesting, you know, at the same time, kind of. So that's the only one I'm going to talk about tonight. Thanks.
Okay. What's coming out next week, Colin?
Well,
nothing.
Stuff.
Books.
Everything is written by Stan Lee.
You're right. Yes, everything is written by Stan.
What about Colin Bunn?
You're right, I'm in agreement with you.
You're in agreement? Okay. Clause 1 second print. It's out of place only because
Cluse.
The way they did it. Cluse. So if you missed that one, we've got the second print of that one coming. Alex Ross Justice League action figure assortment. Had a couple people looking forward to that one. All new Hawkeye number 2, Spider-Man number 4, Back to the Future number 3, as well as second prints of number 1. Batman 47. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1. I know Adam's been looking forward to that one.
Yep.
Black Knight number 2. We'll see where this one goes. Dark Knight 3 Master Race number 1 Collector's Edition.
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
If you want one, let me know. They're going quick. Deadpool number 3, Pat.
Yeah. I guess.
Detective Comics is the Robin War tie-in. Eighth Seal. It's an IDW one. Not sure a whole lot about it.
But. It started out on Mark Waid's Thrillbent site. It's James Tynan.
Okay. So. Cool. Grumpy Cat number 3, Rich. All right. Guardians of the Galaxy number 3. The Gwenpool special.
Yeah.
because she is the hottest character out there. Hercules, number two. Justice League Dark Side War Lex Luthor. Finally getting that one.
Yeah.
Massive Ninth Wave, number one. That's just continuing the massive storyline. Monstrous, number two. I don't know if anybody gave that one a shot.
I read number one. It was really good.
Yeah. So number two's coming out. I have plenty coming. Munchkin, Deck the Dungeons, a holiday one coming out before the holiday. Same with My Little Pony, holiday special. Woo! No, new Romancer, number one. I believe that's the new Vertigo book. Ninjak, number 10. Adam, your Nintendo Laws Link Udusur 1 is coming.
Well, thank you.
No, it says?
It does say that.
Okay.
It said it while we were ordering it, too.
Yeah.
What is it? It's an original action figure. Based on the original art.
Sorry. It is Nintendo Legend of Zelda Link.
Zelda?
Zelda.
Does it say Zelda?
No. It says Laws.
It says Laws. Laws Ufu.
Are we all having a stroke tonight?
I think so.
Red Hood and Arsenal, number 7, is another Robin Moore tie-in. Scarlet Witch, number 1. Oh my gosh, I can't even read this one.
Oh my gosh.
Secret Wars, number 8.
I can't believe it's actually coming.
The Jiggy Jar Jar Do.
Snowblind, number 1. That's a boom. Spider-Gwen 3. Spider-Man 2099, number 4.
Star Trek Green Lantern, number 6 of 6.
Because I know you've been excited about that one. And then we got Star Wars Annual, number 1.
Han Solo's which Red Lantern.
Which I don't think... which I don't...
That's how he's getting. Like, he's just like, oh, no. But
Star Wars Annual, number 1, which I don't think is a tie-in to the Vader Down. So why would you come out with this in the middle of this?
And so you can have a regular Star Wars book in the middle.
But it's going to... There's no...
It's just stupid.
Yeah. Street Fighter Unlimited.
Street Fighter Unlimited.
Symmetry, number 1. That's a new one from Image. Telos, number 3, for everybody reading that.
Both of them.
Twilight Children, number 3. That's been very interesting. Ultimates, number 2. What? You didn't like Twilight Children?
No. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, neither
really
do I.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Ultimates number 2, Uncanny Avengers number 3. Thank goodness we've had 3 issues in an annual already since the relaunch.
It's been out for a year. I think they forgot what annual was.
Unity
about.
25.
That's the end.
Valiant Pull Box Preview. Violent number 1. That's another one from Image.
It's a story of Colin.
Yeah. Walking Dead 149. The We Can Never Go Home trade paperback. And the last issue of We Stand on Guard. I'm behind. I got to catch up on that.
Well, We Stand on Guard.
How could that be the story of him when we know Uncle Scrooge is? See, how many books are we going to have that are going to be Colin's book?
Violent Scrooge.
If you have any questions, please, you can always email me at Colin@PittsburghComics.com.
Why do you do this is not a legitimate question, though.
So I want at times like this at 11 o'clock at night
where
on
do
a
they
Wednesday.
Send all the hate mail about
send it to Adam Russell, Post Office Box 616.
Good, I won't get it.
Kansasburg.
That's Visions, Post Office Box.
I'm sorry. But you can always find me on Facebook and Twitter at PGH Comics. It was funny, Action Lab. Tried to tweet to me today, and they spelled out Pittsburgh Comics.
And it didn't work.
Well, I had to respond to him. I said, I tried to do that, but it's one letter too long for the Pittsburgh name, and it could only be Pittsburgh Comic, which
like,
is a whole different thing.
Sad story. We're just here to sign books.
You can also find me on Instagram at PGH Comics. What story?
Your Twitter.
Yeah.
No, because it just came up today. Fine.
I won't tell it anymore.
It was a better... At least this is a new story using this, though. I'll give him that.
I'm sorry.
It's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.